God, Ray Tango. How he loves to dance. He waltzes in and takes all my drugs. And then tangos back out again. Well, I've had enough of this. Too much television. Can hurt your eyes. Now do you understand why we mustn't kill them?
No, Mr. Perret, I do not understand. It would be much quicker and easier.
Quicker and easier. Yes, quick and easy is how you make a cake, or clean a toilet bowl, or shop by mail. But quick and easy is not how you run a multi-million-dollar business such as ours. Now, Mr. Kwan, on the east side, that's your part of the city. Gabriel Cash has cost me more than $60 million. That includes guns and drugs and various other enterprises. On the west side, Mr. Lopez. Ray Tango has cost me even more. Two little mice. And so much damage. But if we kill them, we risk all-out war with the police. They're heroes already. Why make martyrs out of them? Instead of death, we have a game. A game that only we can win. Within 2 weeks, I will be taking delivery of the largest shipment of munitions and weapons that we have ever handled. Within that time, Tango and Cash will be safely tucked away behind bars.
Listening to Nowhere on Mulberry, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
I'll cut your bloody throat. You ain't your thing at the O? And tying a lovely Windsor knot for you, eh?
I don't wear ties, that's him.
Right boy.
You want to cut my throat, go ahead, huh? You want to cut my fucking head off and use it for a fucking basketball? You can fool the motherfucker for all I care. Just don't let him do it. I don't want to get killed by this limey immigrant jerk-off. I want to get killed by an American jerk-off.
You fucking wanker.
Put it away for now.
Just for now. Some of your other friends want to say hello first.
What are you doing?
Buying time.
Time for what?
I don't know yet.
Oh, shit. It's Conan.
What?
It's Conan.
We're going to get FUBAR now.
What the hell's FUBAR?
You'll see.
Real badass cops. You don't look so tough now, do you? Do you, you
must mean you.
On the streets, this pig and his cop friends broke my ribs, my leg, and my jaw.
You broke that jaw?
You deserved it.
Why did you do that?
Why?
Yeah, why?
I was having a bad day.
Like now?
Like now!
We are a family. I fight for them. They fight for me. As close as we can be.
It's a family.
A family brought together by faith and given superpowers through the miracle of modern science.
Yes, sir.
I'm doing the wave all by myself. Hey, everybody! It's time for Nora Mulberry. I am the Jazz Drum. And I'm centered. Hello, everyone. I am the Jazz Drum. Welcome to Nowhere in Mulberry. It is time to do the show now. And action. To my left is no Steven. He isn't here.
Yes, but he's doing something we've been prodding him to do for years now, so it's not that bad.
Yes, he is, Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How you doing, Bill?
I'm excellent.
Now, Steven, Bill, you wonderfully teased, by the way, because people are like, what is Bill talking about?
Well, thank you. I've been working on my segues.
Nice, nice segue. Those things are fun to ride.
They are, but I go a little too fast on it sometimes.
Steven, right now, I don't know if it's right now or if it's later. I don't know what time.
No, it would be right now. Normally, you'd have to arrive around like 8:30.
Okay. Steven is doing a sleep study. That's right, a sleep study. And we've been asking him to do this for a long, long, long time. Because as you all know, Steven snores while he's awake. And
yeah.
We've all been worried about him and his breathing for a long time. Bill, you've suspected he has sleep apnea for the longest time.
Yeah. And mainly just because of how he talks about how, like, he has a really bad headache when he wakes up.
Right.
And stuff like that's signs that he's not breathing. There's no oxygen to the brain, and the heart starts pumping really hard trying to get oxygen to the brain, and
I think it makes it
throb.
It probably makes it worse that he flies, like, every week, too.
Yeah, it probably doesn't help it.
So right now, Steven is in a sleep study, and I actually have audio of the sleep study, Bill. Let's check in on Steven.
Oh,
listen to that guy. Song logs.
Sleeping better than I did the last one I had.
Yeah, he's doing pretty good there. Now, you've had a sleep study. Kind of describe to me what do you do when you
all
get
right.
there?
So you arrive, and they put you in it looks like a seedy motel room. And they sit you down, and then they hook you up to 16 leads. They two on your legs, like on your calves, to test for like restless leg syndrome. Okay. And then a bunch, most of them go on your head because they want to scan brain activity. So they use this really nasty waxy crap and they put it all over your head and they put the leads in on your head and like two next to your eyes to test for REM sleep when your eyes are blinking, and then one on your throat to test for snoring. There are so many, and it's really, really uncomfortable.
Wow.
Yeah, it's difficult. It's like they're like, oh, we want to test how you sleep, and we're going to cover you in a million things that makes it difficult for you to move while you're sleeping and uncomfortable.
Yeah, how the hell do you get to sleep?
Well, they give you a sleeping pill, like Lunesta or something, just to send you over the edge.
Okay.
But they have to be really careful. Last time I went, which was about 2 weeks ago, because I had to have another sleep study before my surgery on February 28th. And they gave me the sleeping pill too early, and the girl was working on someone else in another room, putting the leads on, and they missed the moment, and I started falling asleep. So once you miss that moment, it's kind of an extended release where at first it's a burst of the medication to make you really sleepy, and then it makes you fall asleep, and then it just kind of lets out a little bit at a time as the night goes on so that you stay asleep. But I missed it.
Wow.
So I probably only slept about 2 hours. Hopefully he has.
So they totally screwed up.
Yeah, they screwed me. It was the worst night of my life. The bed, I'm used to a very soft, plush, queen-size bed on my own.
Right.
And I go there, and they've got probably the cheapest mattress from Sam's Club on a horrible, rickety bed. And I just laid down, and I knew instantly this is going to be a problem.
Oh, man.
Like, my back started hurting. Then after my back started hurting, my sciatic nerve started going down my leg, killing me. And I was just tossing and turning the whole night. And the lady comes in and goes, William, you don't seem to be sleeping. And I was like, really? You came in to tell me that?
We're going to get FUBAR now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hope he's having – it's going to be really strange for him, because when they start slathering that shit on your head and putting those leads on, it's so weird. It's so uncomfortable.
I don't know. Steven, he can sleep anywhere. He sleeps on airplanes. Yeah. He sleeps in movie theaters.
Well, he should be fine then, hopefully.
He sounds like he's doing pretty good there.
Yeah. They're going to be getting some good results.
Yeah, they're like, wow, this guy was out like a light.
Yeah, and then they wake you up at like 5:30, and they're like, okay, test's done.
Okay.
It's like the rudest awakening.
Because
they always do it over the intercom from the observing room. And it's like, what the hell? Who's in my head?
Are you like, where am I?
Yeah, where am I?
Where was? Oh, my God.
You feel like you're in a Saw movie.
You know what they could have done is put that Jack Palance scene from Tango and Cash on. That would have put you right to sleep.
That would have, well, that and would have gave me nightmares.
Oh, clean a toilet bowl.
That is
so awful. Like, while they were shooting that scene, were they going, this is gold? This is gold. Oh, keep going, Jack. Keep going.
This is great stuff we're getting here.
Oh, toilet bowl genius.
I'll cut your bloody throat.
Oh, my God.
That guy can't actually be British. He sounds like a American doing a bad British accent.
Yeah, that's Brian James. That's Leon from Blade Runner.
I was going to say.
Real badass cops.
But Robert Zadar is genius.
I need to watch it. I probably haven't watched it in 15 years, but I bought the Blu-ray.
So. Oh, no, it's on Blu-ray?
Yeah, it's on Blu-ray.
You fucking wanker.
That is so bad.
Wow, it really is bad.
Yes, quick and easy is how you make a cake, or clean a toilet bowl, or shop by mail.
Because when I think baking, I think cleaning a toilet.
That whole scene has got to be improvised by Jack Palance.
Because it's so awful?
It's so awkward, the longest pauses, there's no editing done to it.
Like Stallone and... Russell aren't even trying. They're just like, oh, this is going to get FUBAR now.
Yeah.
Well, like, are you trying to act horribly?
Yeah, he's like, hey, why would you break his jaw? Well, I was having a bad day. And it's like, you guys are bad at riffing.
Why did you do that?
Why did you do that? Because I was having a bad day. Wow.
How he loves to dance.
But that's cool, Bill, that you've done that. And let me ask you this. Since you went through all that and it kind of got screwed up, does that mean the results are going to suck?
I'm going to complain to the doctor.
Do you have to
That's the only thing I can do, because I don't agree with how they set me up that night. And the other thing is, I've been on a CPAP, constant pressure or it's just a constant pressure airway something.
Right.
And it's just this constant pressure. That's all it does. You put on the mask, and it's not that hard to breathe out against the pressure. After a while, you get used to it. They decided that night they would try something called a BiPAP on me, which is two pressures: a pressure when you breathe in, which is the hard pressure, and then it lowers when you breathe out. But the machine senses when you stop breathing or if it can't feel breath, and it kicks that high pressure in and wakes you right up, because you're just kind of lolling yourself to sleep.
Why would they choose, like, then to try something for the first time?
I, I have no idea. If they were going to do that, they should have done two sleep studies.
Yeah, no kidding.
I think, honestly, see, being diagnosed with sleep apnea has become like the new thing. I was reading a report that I think 10 years ago there was only about, 65,000 diagnoses that went to insurance companies, and now it's like over 230 million.
Holy shit.
It's 65 million. It went from 65 million to 230 million. I mean, that's how doctors are just like, oh, sleep apnea, send them to a sleep center. And they make a shit ton of money just on that overnight visit. That probably cost my insurance company maybe $2,500. And then they charge you for the mask, which is $200, but they upcharge it to probably like six. You know, they make a ton of money, and they just want to get people in and out of there.
Holy shit.
So they don't really – they overbook it at night. So there were only two techs there. So it takes way too long. I sat in there. I arrived at 8:30, and I sat in there until 11:30. And that's whenever she came in and started putting her stuff on, because I knew, because I was watching Laverne and Shirley on Hub, and I know the lineup on Hub at night because that's what I watch. They, you know, they go like Family Ties.
They had a TV in the room?
Yeah, they do. They have a TV. It's like a hotel room.
Oh, okay.
It looks exactly like
a
hotel room.
So they want you to be able to watch TV to help you fall asleep or something? Or
no, I can't sleep with the TV on. It has to be pitch dark, but it just, you know, it's kind of a disaster. I just hope he has a much better experience than I did. I hope he went to a good sleep center that has nice beds and
yeah. Do they do like, okay, Steven, I want you to count to from 10 to 1. Now start. And he's like 10. I'm like, "Whoa."
I would have to, I think maybe they'd shoot him with that milk of amnesia that stuff Mike Jackson died from. That's what I needed.
We've done a show like this before where Steven's just snoring and we're talking.
Oh, yeah. My favorite one was whenever he was just resting his eyes.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, Steven, let's go ahead and do the – oh, Bill, I don't want to wake him, so why don't we go ahead and do the DVD?
He looks so sweet.
Yeah, he – poor little guy's tuckered out. I'm just sitting here. I think it's so funny when you'll, like, say – you go, is Steven sleeping? He goes, I'm sitting here. I'm just got my eyes closed. I'm not doing – he's all defensive.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, you're falling asleep.
If you're falling asleep, it's fine. Just admit it and say, you know what? I'm going to go. You guys have a great show.
We're going to get FUBAR now.
He won't admit it. That's why I love Steven.
I just hope they get good results. They give him something to work with. You know, I don't know if he still has his tonsils. That can be a big breathing problem issue. It can actually cause sleep apnea.
I just picture reams of paper with that needle thing, and they're like, my God, the readings! I can just picture
off the chart!
Huh? God, I thought Steven.
Predator!
They're like, what's that predator sound? Something's coming to kill us.
They lock the door to the room.
There's a part in the original Nightmare on Elm Street where the girl goes to a sleep study thing. Remember that?
Yes.
And she's having the dream. And they're like, oh, my God, what's going on in there? And Steven's going to have a fedora in the bed with him. And they're like, oh, my God.
Like this claw is going to raise up from between his legs.
Oh, God.
All right. That's all. So we wish Steven the best of luck. We love you, buddy. We're going to be thinking about you during the show. Now, Bill, we have two voicemails here. Feast or famine, Bill.
Yeah. Isn't that funny how that works?
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, well, it'll be quick and easy. We'll get the voicemails. We'll play them and we'll be done with it.
Yes, yep. Quick and easy is how you make a cake, or yes, clean a toilet bowl, or shop by mail.
Yeah.
Shop by mail is not quick.
What is he talking about? Don't you have to wait like 6 weeks for your shit to get delivered?
Exactly. No one shops by mail because it's not easy.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Maybe in like 1932 when he's shopping by mail.
The Sears and Roebuck catalog is just sitting on the toilet.
You just order directly from it, and you call and pick it up.
You are my number one guy.
I still can't believe Steven didn't know what I was doing last week when I was doing this.
I was giving him a chance. I was delaying. I kept going, come on. Come on.
Steven hasn't had rest in years, so his brain has betrayed him. Steven, when he used to be the pop culture zealot, he was like, you know, he'd just fire off references
on
and
the
stuff.
Ball.
And it's just sad to see him
slowly lose his knowledge.
He's turned into an Alzheimer's patient, basically.
His brain is now a raisin.
His brain is a raisin. Steven always knows I won't talk shit about him while he's not here.
Yeah.
It's Conan.
Huh? Where's Conan? No, I love Steven, so I hope he's okay. Now, our first voicemail, Bill, is from a pair of brothers. Or do I just say brothers? Is it redundant?
Brothers Pierce?
A pair of brothers? Or something
I just
like
think it? Brothers, because brothers is a plural, and that would mean more than one.
Yeah, we could, like the Wachowski brothers or the Hughes brothers. Or I think the Hughes brothers are the brothers Hughes. When
I always like whenever the brothers is in front of the last name. It just seems classier.
So this is the brothers Rowe.
And it's just the Wachowskis now. One of them's no longer a brother.
Right. I remember that now. Had a sex.
Larry is now Lana.
Yeah, extremely hot Lana.
Oh, man, yeah.
Oh.
What's he laughing at?
Yeah, what's Robert Zadar laughing at there?
Real badass cops.
His voice doesn't seem like it should be that, does it?
No. Mm-mm.
All right, let's play this voicemail and see what's going on.
Hey guys, this is Pierce and Patrick from Indiana, and we wanted to leave what we think is the first brotherly voicemail.
Yeah, and we're on speakerphone right now, so it probably sounds like crap, but we wanted to talk to you. And we felt like we needed to call in because there were so many voicemails last week, and we needed to get a few things off our chest. Pierce, you saw...
I saw Chronicle yesterday. I agreed with what you guys said. I thought it was really good. I'm a big fan of the found footage genre, so that was really cool.
Nice.
Funny story, though. When me and my buddy walked out of the theater, there's this group, a pack of idiots, if you will, behind us. And when they walked out of the theater, they were complaining, like, hey, we want our money back. What the heck was that?
They didn't know it was found footage.
And they didn't know it was found footage, which kind of made me wonder, does anybody read about movies before they see them anymore? Because... I feel like if you know anything about that movie, you know, you should be expecting that. So I thought that was kind of funny.
But what we really wanted to talk about was what you got me for Christmas this year.
Which was a Papa Murphy's $20 gift card.
Whoa. $10.
Okay, pardon me. $10.
he upped it like 10.
You guys have been ranting and raving about Papa Murphy's on the show for so long now. A new store... just opened literally down the block from me, so I had to try it, and I'll be honest, guys, I was not a fan. I did not really enjoy my Papa Murphy's experience.
Oh.
And Pierce
I overhyped
that
Bill.
It would be so funny to get me a Papa Murphy's gift card for Christmas.
It was a joke gift, if you will.
Gag gift. Didn't appreciate
card.
It. So I went back for my second Murphy's experience. And I got to be honest, I still didn't like it. I got a deep dish. I don't know. This might be a little offensive, but I just feel like it tastes a bit like DiGiorno's.
So he didn't like it, though, but I want to try the Murph. So we want a suggestion from you guys.
What do you get?
What are we supposed to order?
Right. What do you get? When you go to Murph's, what do you get? I know I drove by there the other day. They got a new special. They got a heart-shaped pizza for Valentine's Day. I'm serious.
How does that work?
And they also got the new Mini Murph. I guess the Mini Murph, it's the new personal pan Papa Murphy's pizza.
Emma just
Mini
tried
Murph.
That.
So do you recommend the heart-shaped pizza or the Mini Murph, I guess is the real question.
I'm sure it tastes like the regular
pizza. The other question is, you know, I was on such a RoboCop buzz from last week. My buddies and I sat down. You weren't there. You didn't watch it. But we sat down and watched RoboCop 2. And, wow, what a steaming pile of crap that was. That stupid kid that has the machine gun
that
swears
bad.
And drops F-bombs and deals drugs and is basically a 10-year-old pimp. RoboCop 2. Need your thoughts on that. And we're doing RoboCop 3 next week. And I've never seen it. My buddy says, just get ready, he flies in it. So
hell yeah.
We're looking forward to that one. Hope you guys have a great show this week. We'll call back hopefully next week, and we've been loving the episode lately.
Yeah, sounds you guys like a been threat. Doing great. Keep up the hard work.
All right, see you guys.
All right, guys. Thanks, Brothers Rowe. And I just, like, the Brothers Anderson totally dropped the ball, Bill. Wow.
Yeah, I'm so ashamed.
They've listened to the show for a long time. We talked to both of them, and wow, they totally missed an opportunity.
I hope they're sorry.
Yes, I hope they're sorry.
They know what I'm talking about.
Oh, it's too easy. Oh, I love those guys. But thanks, brothers. That's awesome. Now, on the Papa Murphy's thing, I don't know. Maybe you have a bad location you're going to. The people running the franchise don't care. They used old dough, old toppings. I don't know.
Old dough. Oh, my God.
But the Papa Murphy's I get. We use, like, I'll get a pepperoni because Emma just loves, you know, pepperoni. But I get the Papa's favorite, which has the bell pepper, the black olives, the onions, the pepperoni, the sausage, and I'm forgetting things. Olives, I already said that. Mm-hmm. So it's got all sorts of stuff. So, and mushrooms.
And that's the Murphy's combo?
That's the Papa's favorite.
Papa's favorite, okay.
Right, and they also they have the deep dish pizzas where I get every once in a while. That's a lot to eat.
That's a lot of dough. I don't like deep dish. Well, and their deep dish is it's two layers of pizza dough. It's strange. It's not like a real Chicago deep dish.
It's like a stuffed pizza.
And
it's really good, but it's you get that if you're like have a family to feed because you.
Yeah.
I've gotten it, like, by myself before, and I'm like, what the hell was I thinking? Like, I can eat, like, two slices of it. I'm like, okay, well, that's it. I have the rest of this pizza. I will eat more tomorrow. And I'll reheat it the next day, but let's face it, it's not as good reheated. I mean, it's okay.
Pizza, well, you know, I have two things to say on that front also. Well, one thing, but two things to say. I'm an asshole. Papa Murphy, I believe in something called pizza cognition theory. Your pizza taste depends on the first pizza you ever have.
Right.
So you're always trying to find that pizza again. So sometimes it's way off in left field, and that's might what happened. Papa Murphy's, the thing I like about it is that I like their original crust, just the standard hand-tossed original crust.
Right.
Their thin crust, I hate thin crust. Ohio is just inundated with thin crust I don't need anymore. It's terrible. I don't want to eat pizza on a cracker.
Yeah, I want a nice pizza.
Hand-tossed dough pizza.
You want it quick and easy.
Yes,
yeah,
quick and
it's
easy.
Like baking a cake,
cake
or cleaning
or
a toilet.
Clean a toilet bowl or shop. By mail.
By mail. wow. And I like the traditional sauce.
Yes.
The cheese is – I like the cheese because it's a blend. It's a mozzarella provolone blend, and it's whole milk cheese. It's or it's part skim.
Yeah.
It's a mix. It's chewy. It's flavorful.
They're all fresh ingredients. Yeah. Their cheese is awesome.
Yeah. It's great. And I like just the plain pepperoni. If I – you know – it's really nice to go there, and I'm always impressed by the cooking method of it. They use a paper container, which somehow doesn't burn or get soggy. It actually makes the crust really crisp, and it's maybe because there's a higher content of oil in it. I don't know.
Oh, but, you know, I just thought of something also. It's take and bake. You take it home and you bake it.
Yeah.
Maybe the Brothers Rowe, they underbaked it.
You can underbake it. It can be doughy. You can overbake it, and it can be too crunchy.
I've done both of those things till finally, you know, what my oven is, I know exactly, like it says, bake it 12 to 14 minutes, check on it in 10. I figured out that 11 minutes, it's perfect. That's exactly how I like it, at 11 minutes, and that's when I take it out.
Yeah, I'm always I still have a gas oven, and it's not a convection oven. It's when I bought the house, the oven came with it, and I just have never gotten around to replacing it. So I have to keep a thermometer in it, And I always, you know, I always check what the real temperature is. They say, I think, what is it, 425? Is that what they bake it at?
Yes, and the deep dish is 350.
Yeah, and I always turn it halfway through, and it just...
I don't turn it. Maybe I should.
Well, you probably have a newer oven has convection in it. Is there an airflow?
It's an electric oven.
So I don't know, but it's really all up to the person and the type of pizza they prefer.
And I
just thought for a pizza chain, for a place that you can go and get your pizza, bring it home and bake it, it was a million times better than Pizza Hut, Domino's, any of those deliveries. I just thought the quality was better and that the pizza itself was better. I haven't gotten it in a very long time because there's no Papa Murphy's around me anymore. I make my own. If I want pizza and I know I want pizza that weekend, I take two doughs out of the freezer, put them in the fridge. You know, that's my thing now.
Two piping hot pepperoni pizzas.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say. If you guys didn't like it, you don't like it, but I think it's awesome. And maybe just get it again, cook it differently, a little bit longer. Or if you guys think it was overdone, cook it, pull it out sooner. Or maybe, like I said, undercook it or overcook it.
Or maybe just feed it to the dog.
Yeah, but I love it. And I love the cheese there. And like last week, the Super Bowl, I went and got two Papa Murphy's. I got me the Papa's favorite, just loaded with all those veggies and stuff on it. Mm-hmm. Man, it's when I smell that cooking, it smells like a pizzeria. Man, it's so good.
And when it's cooked perfectly, the veggies still have a little bit of crispness to them.
When I bite into those bell pepper, God, I love that. But I'm a big bell pepper guy.
Yeah, I like bell peppers.
Oh, sorry. I don't know what I did to that guy. But
and I know I said I had two things, but I can't remember what the other thing was now. Because I went off.
Immigrant jerk-off!
Hey!
I went on such a rant, I can't remember.
Oh, you did say two things. You said...
I did.
The first one was the...
What was the last thing they mentioned in the voicemail?
Pizza cognition.
Yeah.
And then you didn't say the other one.
Yeah, I can't remember. Damn it.
Maybe it was how you cook it. Was that it? Or
maybe. I don't know. I guess it doesn't really matter if you can't remember. It wasn't that important.
I think it was that you make it quick and easy. Don't complicate it.
Yeah.
Yes, quick and easy is how you make a cake, or clean a toilet bowl, or shop by mail.
When I clean a toilet bowl, it takes a long time, Bill.
When I clean a toilet bowl, it's not quick. It's messy and kind of disgusting.
Yeah, and I wish I had some gloves because I'm sticking my hands down in the water.
I have a set of. I always have gloves that don't have the powder in them. Yeah, because I hate the powdery gloves, but I always have gloves under the sink. I can't do that without gloves.
Yeah, that is pretty gross. Oh.
Or clean
and I always bake a cake after I use those gloves.
Without washing your hands.
Yeah, it adds an earthiness.
Release the Kraken.
Goddamn, dude.
Okay. I forgot what else they talked about, but that was a great voicemail,
RoboCop.
Guys. Yeah, RoboCop. RoboCop 2, come on, guys. It's a lot of fun.
You have to put RoboCop 2 in the context of the writer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Frank Miller, it's totally different from the first film.
Writer's strike, the original guys who wrote it, the studio said bye-bye to them. They didn't get to have anything to do with it.
The intelligence and the satire of the original film is gone.
Right.
It's now a parody of action films.
I mean, if I were to say this to you, like if you've never seen RoboCop 2 and you say this, hey, I want you to watch a movie. It's directed by the director of Empire Strikes Back and written by the guy who did The Dark Knight Returns. You'd go, oh, sign me up. Put it on. Yeah. I got to see this movie. Okay, it's called RoboCop 2. What? What did you say? It's RoboCop 2. No. No, I'm sorry. That's what it is. He's like, you're a liar. They had nothing to do with that. No, they
You know
did.
What the other strange thing about RoboCop 2 is? It's really... whereas the first film was kind of... Was kind of gritty.
Uh-huh.
You know, the feeling of it was kind of grimy. The second film, it just feels dirty. Like uncomfortably...
Yes.
Like, oversexed. You know, you have the woman that always wants something for the nuke, and then you have the little boy who's like getting up all on her when Kane gets taken out. It's just
little,
it's really grimy.
It's
just
it's sleazy.
Sleazy. Sleazy, whereas the first one was grimy.
And I'm not going to say it's a bad movie. I can watch RoboCop 2 and enjoy myself. I just have to disconnect it from RoboCop.
Yeah, it's an absurdity. It's ridiculous, the whole controlling the robot with Nuke.
Yeah.
You know, and all.
There's
it's
some
just,
funny
come
parts
on.
When they're going through the different prototypes of a new RoboCop. It's pretty funny.
Yes.
And horrifying, too.
Yeah, oh my God, it is.
There's that one who just shoots himself in the head.
That had touches of the first RoboCop.
Yeah, they had the blueprint. Like, well, let's do like this they did in the first movie. But I'm not going to say it's anywhere near the quality of RoboCop. But
yeah, and then the scene that always got to me, other than the little boy getting all, hey, let's do this thing with the woman, is whenever she finally runs into Kane as the robot. Or what do they call Kane?
Kane. He's what RoboCop 2, isn't he?
Okay. All right. I just can never. All I remember is Kane, and she's like, "Oh, I can get used to this."
Yeah, and it's like,
and he's, and then he goes freaky and he's breaks like, her neck.
He's like
"What in the hell am I watching?"
He's all frustrated. I love that computer graphic of Kane's face.
Yeah,
but what I get out of RoboCop 2 is just Peter Weller saying Kane.
And of course, my favorite clip from any RoboCop movie, the RoboCop trying to teach children with poetry.
Yes, he's been reprogrammed with all this crap, and I love it. It's genius. That, what the hell you doing? And of course,
oh, and it opens with a Little League baseball team robbing a store. I mean, come on.
Right. Well, that's a little bit later on.
Oh, it opens with the guys robbing the gun shop.
Yeah, there's it's kind of cool how it opens up. It's got like a tracking shot down the street showing all the different crimes going on, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it because whenever the kids are robbing the store, that's whenever he's been reprogrammed and they just run wild over him, right?
Right.
Okay.
Waste makes haste, for time is fleeting. A rolling stone is worth two in the bush.
Go, refrigerator, peck your neck!
Genius, genius writing.
I love that.
Nothing comes. I honestly think, you know, after we did that RoboCop show, that RoboCop, the original, is easily the most quotable movie ever made.
Oh, definitely.
That you'll shit snow for a year.
Exactly. That's a good example, Foggy. But but now I'm thinking that Tango and Cash is. What do you think?
No, I think it's the most unquotable film ever made. People, you start quoting Tango and Cash and people look at you like you lost your mind.
You know what they'll do? They'll be like,
I'll cut your bloody throat.
Yes. There's a turtle on its back.
There's a turtle on its back, and you're not helping it. Why? Because you just don't want to. Remember, I love Leon. Leon, wake up. Time to die.
Never seen a turtle.
Oh. Well, let's check out another voicemail. This one from Rick. Hey, Rick, what's going on?
Hey guys, another voicemail in here. It's Rick. Oh, yeah, it's party time when Rick's voicemails start to play. Everyone get some chips and dip and have a good time while the voicemail plays.
Woo! Did he write that down?
So pretty much that means I've got nothing to talk about when I do that. No, seriously, I've got F all to say about F all. I send in a weekly voicemail, try to anyway, most of the time succeed. And I don't really offer that much, you know. There's only so many times you can go, oh, you guys are awesome, love your show, you know. Mm-hmm. Kind of every week, the same thing, love your show. And, yeah, you can get into the details, but pretty much it's, you know, good show, love your work. So maybe I was thinking, you know, you guys are film, TV, pop culture. Pop culture is expanding these days, I think, to YouTube. So I might come at you every week with a YouTube kind of recommendation. So Rick's YouTube, I have to think of a good name for it, but...
Rick's YouTube recommendation.
But yeah, you know, just because I'm on there a lot and I get to see a lot of... random shit.
That sounds full.
And I figured, you know, I might be able to come across some shit that not everyone's seen. Or, you know, whatever. So, let me know. If not, you know, it's all cool. Friggin', it's just YouTube. I mean, you...
I just want to know if we can contribute.
Yes, April, sorry, have a great day, and that's all I got to say about it.
Okay, Rick, thanks a lot.
I honestly just want to know how Rick is.
Yeah.
Because I like Rick. I can't say I'm concerned. He seems okay.
I'm concerned.
But, you know,
about
I just
him.
I like to know what's going on with Rick. How's Australia? How's life? How's his family?
Yeah, he needs to call in and just say, you know, what's going on with his life. I want personal things.
I'm concerned
deep,
about him.
Deep, dark, personal things.
Yes. What do you mean? What are your
things that hurt to talk about?
What are your hopes, your dreams, your fears, your phobias?
Do you have a vision board?
I jumped to conclusions.
One of my friends on Facebook said that they needed to put something on their vision board, and I was like, that sounds futuristic. What is that? What? How do you have a? Where do you get a vision board? Does a warlock conjure one for you?
I'm going to give you a vision to see.
Oh. You get them from Gary Busey. I knew it.
Oh, that's interesting. Bill, let's go ahead and check out entertainment. Oh, and by the way, thanks, guys. Thanks for sending those voicemails. And if you'd like to send us a voicemail, call 1-206-202-1298.
3491.
Not anymore.
Oh. See, now I remember it now.
Yeah, it's 1-206-202 and then changes to 1298.
1298 is a good series of numbers. I like those.
Yeah, it is. So send in a voicemail now, and it'll still get in on the show probably. Maybe. All right, let's do entertainment, Bill. Whee! Ah, yes. I wonder what kind of movies came out this week, Bill. New Friday movies.
You know, I know there were four new releases.
Oh, yeah.
And all of them I didn't want to see.
Chill out, R2.
The Phantom Menace 3D came out, Bill, huh?
I was thinking about going to the theater and kicking anyone that goes and buys a ticket to it in the crotch. Male or female, doesn't matter.
Crotch kick!
Yeah, I mean, they should get a complimentary crotch kick just for that.
You're right.
Just for giving more money to a man that... says we the fans, the ones that gave him all the money to create the things he has now, are wrong.
Right.
I mean, I can't wrap my mind around how anybody who's a fan of the original trilogy growing up can throw money at this shit now.
Because I mean, I'm not going to say we, because I certainly didn't go see it, but
no.
People talk themselves into it. Well, and then they go. It's like they abuse themselves.
The worst comment I've ever seen is that the Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, is highly underrated. Like, I mean, I honestly want to use the F word right now. Wow. Are you kidding me?
Who would have said something like that?
Someone brainwashed? I don't know. It's quite possibly one of the dumbest comments I've ever heard.
People have convinced themselves to... I mean, we've all convinced ourselves to like certain things, and some people, it's just that one.
Listen, you know, of course I have a morbid curiosity to see what they've done with, like, the pod race or... the pod race.
I'm a person, and my name is Anakin.
But I would never want to subject myself to watching this again. It is it's so disappointing. It is. It's like I guess a while back I put on Rotten Tomatoes through Facebook. You know, you two can now see the biggest disappointment in the 90s in 3D, and it is. It's just, it's such a disappointment. There's so much promise with, like, Darth Maul and. With Liam Neeson, and then it takes a massive shit.
Disappointing. Disappointing.
Yeah.
But seriously, though, like, if Emma begged me to see it, I'd probably take her to see it. I hope she doesn't. I'd rather see, you know, the new Ghibli movie that comes out or
something
like
that. Yeah,
why don't
you just sit her down? You know, you have to teach her early. Like, listen, Emma, this was really rough for me. At first, I thought it was okay. And then as years went on and I saw it again, I realized that it's just not good.
We've had that talk before because she enjoys the Star Wars movies, and I'll go, which one do you want to watch? And she'll go, Phantom Menace. And I'm like, are you sure? And she goes, yes. And I'm like, okay. So I put it in, and I'm like, she wants to watch it, and I leave the room. She likes it for certain parts or whatever, so I'm not going to, like, convince her otherwise. I'm not going to be like that parent who's kind of discusses political things to their children,
yeah,
or, like, she just gets it through osmosis because I'm in the room bitching about, like, oh, man, this is stupid. I let her enjoy it.
Yeah, you can't do that to your kids.
Yeah, I let her enjoy it, but then, you know, secretly I'm like, why can't she be watching Empire? But then when she eventually does want to watch Empire Strikes Back again, I'm like, oh, there we go. But she enjoys all of them because they're, let's face it, The Phantom Menace has certain sequences that are cool, especially for a sound system.
Absolutely.
The pod race sounds fantastic on a sound system with a subwoofer.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the Darth Maul saber fight. But I got to honestly tell you, if I were to go see this in 3D, I would be waiting for those same moments again and be sleeping with right next to Steven for the rest of the moments, you know?
Well, I would leave the theater. I'd, like, wait for, like, an audio cue and go, oh, okay, I can go back in.
Oh, must be the Coruscant scenes, Bill.
Oh.
The setting. So it's kind of...
They're discussing it in a committee.
Yo, I do want to go... I want a camera set up for that part when they're in Coruscant. How many people get up to go to the bathroom? Because they know that scene's coming up now, and I guarantee you that's mass exodus to the restroom.
Absolutely. I would. It's the perfect time to go. You got like 20 minutes. Hell, I'd even leave during the assault on Naboo at the end. Like, I don't care. Them running around with their shiny guns.
When Padme says, I give a vote of no confidence. I'd stand up and go, yeah, me too, honey. And then leave the theater loudly.
It's not just Chancellor Valorum that sucks.
It's you too, Sio Bibble.
Sio Bibble.
But seriously, I don't understand. But all of them are going to come out. Bill, will you see the original Star Wars in 3D?
No, I won't.
Because Empire?
I saw when there was the re-release of the special editions back in the mid-90s.
Right.
I saw them then, and I felt like something was wrong. And I don't want to experience that again just in 3D.
Right.
I can't do it. You know, I'm to the point where I've thrown my hands up. There's nothing we can do about what George Lucas does. He is a deluded old man that needs
He's
to go make his personal
loser.
Films instead of continuously tarnishing the memory of the films and alienating the true fans of them. And I just don't understand him. It's like... There was another interview where he cited the Blade Runner films as having multiple versions. And I think it was Zach Martin made the great comment that, they do have multiple versions. And they're all available.
Right. You don't make the original edition not available in high-definition format.
Yeah, it just... I can't take it anymore. I can't. I
You're
honestly
Star Wars
cannot.
Out. I get it.
It's like Adewan, who makes these amazing, amazing revisited versions of Star Wars that he's right now almost done with Empire. Then he's going on to Return of the Jedi, hopefully. And then he's going to go back and redo a new I hate even calling it A New Hope. Star Wars in HD. Because his first, it wasn't done in HD. It was just done in, you know, standard 480p for the DVD.
Right.
And even he said at this point, when people engage him in a conversation about Star Wars, he doesn't even want to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, it's over. It's done.
That's what's so funny is that we are immersed in Star Wars, but it's the Old Republic. And it is kind of like... It's so different that you can't separate them.
It's a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, it really is.
I love the storylines. I love being in an area of Star Wars where you don't have to worry about the stench of George Lucas on it. You know, and there hasn't been – in my Jedi storyline, we both are up to level 50. Did you finish your counselor storyline?
No.
Okay, so I finished my trooper storyline.
What are midichlorians?
Well, it turns out midichlorians are responsible for everything in my storyline, Bill. I'm so
Yeah, that's one thing I was that's what I was going to say. My Jedi storyline, I haven't heard one mention of it. In only heard about the Force.
Yeah, it's all about the Force.
How it binds everything together.
Yes.
You know, no midichlorians. Sure, everyone knows that the Force is hereditary. It runs in families.
The one thing that I get from the whole Old Republic storyline is that the Sith and the Empire, they have their shit together big time.
Yeah, they really do. And that's what's amazing about it is that the Sith, I honestly cannot wait to play a Sith the way I would, because in Jedi terms, in that old era, it really kind of emphasizes why the Jedi Council, the Jedi clan, if you will, failed, because they had a misunderstanding of the Force.
Yeah,
they were against romance, and they thought that like led to a certain amount of evil. Like it was emotion was bad. You were supposed to be a freaking automaton. Like everything was perfect and. Don't let any emotion take over. And that's what the Sith are all about, is emotion.
Right.
And I can't wait to play that class that I can make the decisions I would make, but from a different way.
Yeah, there's so many times where I did the right thing, where I fought a Sith, but he wasn't dead. I could either take him into custody or kill him. And I wanted to kill him so bad, but I go, no, I will not kill you. And I'm like,
Because you lose Force points.
Yeah.
You know, you end up getting Dark points, and then that screws up your build, because the higher light you are, the better relics you can get.
Right.
You know, I can't wait till I can make the choice I want to make and do what I want. It seems like Sith is going to be the funner class to play.
I will say that it is fun getting up to 50, because you do kind of feel like a badass walking around.
You do. And now I just can't wait to start doing the daily stuff so that I can start getting... Have you looked at some of that gear? Like the Rakata gear, the Calumny gear?
Yeah, a long time ago I did.
I mean, holy crap, that stuff is cool.
Nice.
There is some really, really high damage stuff, and that's all stuff you get by doing dailies and PvP. And I'm really excited about doing like the Hut Ball and the War Zones and all that. I can't wait to into that.
I'm sure I'll suck at all that and get killed a lot.
Well, by people with better gear than us, sure.
Yeah.
But I think you still get commendations for playing.
Nice.
Oh, I'm so glad. I just popped up on Facebook. Laura has finished her legs and sword workout. So that good. Now she can chill out and listen to us,
I think. Yay! Hi, Laura! Woohoo! Now, Bill, I want to talk about another movie that came out called Safe House.
What the hell is this?
With my man Denzel. Woohoo!
Everything he's in looks like Training Day anymore.
You know what's funny is that...
Straight up. This fake-ass, wannabe Denzel Washington-looking-ass dude.
Huh? But the commercial for it says, you know, he was the top CIA agent. Until he went rogue. And I went, oh no, not that!
And this is going to be one of those movies where at the end you figure out that he went rogue for a good reason.
Yes,
like they turned on him.
He's going to be a good guy, Bill.
Yeah.
And Ryan Reynolds will figure that out, and he'll actually start helping him. They'll think he's gone rogue, but it'll all get proven in the end. Yay!
Or Ryan Reynolds won't figure out that he's a good guy until after he kills him. You know, it's going to be like, oh no, he was right.
That'd be a good twist ending.
Yeah. But I'm really hoping for that twist ending in Journey 2, The Mysterious Island.
Oh, you know it'll be. It'll all be in the Rock's head and he's in a coma.
When I watch the trailers to that, I just go, Michael Caine, you know, wow, man.
I'm Michael Caine.
Yeah. I am Michael Caine. Do you see here that this pack of sausages... looks like cigar.
I'm just hoping, Bill, that he got a condo or something out of it, right? Yeah.
It just looks so terrible. Like, even for a child's movie, it just looks painfully bad.
I hope it's somewhat entertaining for somebody.
I'm sure you're going to have to go to it.
No, I hope not.
Really? But- I would think Emma would see that and go, wow, that's really cool. Like giant bugs and lizards.
We watched the one with Brendan Fraser.
Brendan Fraser, yeah.
Brendan Fraser. And, you know, it's not good. It has bad effects, but it seemed to hold her interest. But I think she completely forgot about it as soon as it was over.
I mean, of all the movies that are released this weekend, Safe House, Journey 2, The Vow, oh my God, my wife has amnesia.
I've got to make her fall in love with me again.
Yeah, wow, does that look douchey. I would probably just go see Chronicle. I want to see The Woman in Black now that I've read about how it really makes a callback to the classic Peter Cushing, Christopher Lee Hammer films. I didn't even realize it was one of the new Hammer productions. So I actually want to see...
I'm a black girl.
Yes. No, she's in black. She's not black.
Oh.
She might be black. She might
be
black. I just
think of that song, the Lady in Black is dancing with me.
That's Lady in Red, isn't it? From Simply Red?
Oh, nobody else. I don't know what he says.
Yeah, I never understood that song.
But all I know is that's when you get on the dance floor. It's slow dance, Bill. Time to get on the dance floor. Or get off the dance floor.
Or get well, that's whenever they call everyone, you know, this is a slow skate.
Yeah. slow skate, yeah, it's in the roller rink.
Yeah, they'd be like, it's time for couples.
It's time for the lady in red. Everyone get off. Oh shit.
Then they would do that like that handheld or the hand holding skate and the lower the lights. I'd always get whenever they would play Run DMC. That's when I would get on.
Nice. You like the song Hollis.
You be illin.
Christmas. Oh, yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, okay. That's all I got.
Oh, I just dated myself.
Anything new coming out, like, in the next couple weeks? We're not going to do a show next week, Bill, because it's the daddy-daughter dance. I'm taking my daughter. That should be fun. Hey, maybe they'll play Lady
I hope they do.
Red.
That would be awesome. And then on the 28th, well, yeah, next week and then the weekend after, I'm probably not, because I'm going to be doing surgery prep. I don't know if I'm going to be able to fit in a show on the 24th.
Right. That's totally acceptable.
Yeah, you know, February 17th, I'm not a fan of Neville Dean and Taylor, but Ghost Rider I want to see just because Nick Cage is insane.
Yeah, the effects look different now. They
look cleaner.
Yeah, they were so shitty in the first Ghost Rider. Yeah. And honestly, I've never seen Ghost Rider. I've never sat through it. But
it's painful.
But this new one, at least it has a look to it, you know? Mm. At least that. They should have got the guy who did Priest to do the Ghost Rider, I think.
God.
Get Paul Bettany in there as the villain or something. That would be great.
It's only appropriate. No, This Means War, which I have absolutely... Oh, it's directed by McGee. No wonder I thought it looked like it was horrible.
Oh, man. I was thinking, you know what? That movie might be different if it had completely different cast. But I can't accept these guys going, you know, oh, man, she's so beautiful. I'm not going to stop dating her. She's
Well, you know what? It's like kind of the situation with the Dark Knight whenever with
Joker.
Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, you're so beautiful.
Like, oh, you're so beautiful. Like, wait, what?
It's like he's just reading the script. That's all.
Do you need corrective lenses?
And she seems like a very lovely woman.
Yeah, she just looks like a sad turtle.
But don't tell me that she's all beautiful and gorgeous that all these men are after her. Come Mm-mm. on. And same with Reese Witherspoon. I mean,
she could open a can with her chin.
Some men may find her hot, but yeah. We will know exactly how many by the box office take this weekend, is all I'm saying.
I don't understand how she can... I just never found her routine interesting. And all I need to see is Chelsea Handler in a preview. And,
I was like, okay, if this movie didn't have enough against it, now they got the sidekick is Chelsea Handler. And even more reasons not to see this. Wow.
I like that on IMDb in the synopsis it says, I enjoy McGee movies. He's the likable alternative to Brett Ratner.
What? He's the same thing!
That is an awesome comparison. Such a backhanded compliment.
I will say that McGee has more style than Brett Ratner because Brett Ratner doesn't have any.
Brett Ratner has no style. He just has his hand down his pants all the time.
Exactly. Now, Bill,
yeah, and that Secret World of Arrietty comes out in, I think, the 17th, maybe to a limited release. I don't know if they're going wide with that.
I do want to see that. I want to take Emma to see that because I love
Studio Ghibli. Ghibli.
Yeah, Ghibli, the director. I'm trying to think of the guy, the Jason Miyazaki.
Yeah, but it's not a Miyazaki film. It's just a Ghibli film.
Yeah, Studio Ghibli.
But I love those films. They're always fantastical and wonderful and fun.
Awesome.
And
it's based
but the
on
one I'm looking forward to the most is Good Deeds with Tyler Perry. That just looks really, really, really heartwarming.
How does this guy crank this shit out?
I don't know, man.
Wow. But so you definitely want to see The Lady in Black?
Yes. Yeah, I do. That's her. That's her. Yeah, it just looks campy fun, and
it looks
I'm
scary.
All for some jumpy scares.
There's that part where he's standing in the window, and then the face is behind him. That looks creepy, doesn't it?
Yeah, I like those creepy movies.
Well, I've had enough of this.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, Bill, what do you say we check out what's on our TiVos?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it! Bill, I think it's time. Let's check in on Steven and see how he's doing. Oh, okay, he's still out. Still taking meetings, Bill. Oh, good.
He has his own music?
Yes, he does.
That's awesome.
All right, let's talk about Face Off, Bill. We don't have any cake boss, so let's cut right to the heart of our shows. Face Off, huh? This week... You know what's funny is I remember it was like the first episode of the first season where they have all the animals. And I forget what kind of animal they had then. It was like a lion or something. They were like, oh, my God, whoa. Oh. And they were like,
it's going to eat me.
And this time they have a rhino. And it's funny, all the reactions like, whoa. Like, oh, dude,
look at the size of that thing.
And then none of them pick it.
It's going to eat me.
But didn't you think that was funny? They went through all the trouble to put a rhino in that warehouse, and then nobody picked it as their animal.
Such an interesting animal to work with. Like the idea that skin that's not scaly and but rough, and there's like a textural excitement kind of thing going. I'm fascinated by rhinos.
I would never want to be run down by one, but
no.
But they all,
and you never know when they might muck spread.
But also, it was. but also, they gave them plants or flowers to mix together.
That was I didn't understand that. Why would they do that?
I don't know. Just something to trick it up, I guess. The one guys did that one flower lizard dude. You know, I guess that was the only interesting one.
That was really, I mean, that was the only interesting one. At least they got Glenn Hedrick. He was like, you guys really got the concept.
Yes.
I was really impressed. Look at my coffin necklace. Isn't it badass?
It really stimulated my optic nerve.
Yes.
So, anyway, let's check this out. And what is her name? Becky?
Yeah.
And what's the Asian girl? I forget her name, but they don't get along at all. And
Becky doesn't get along with anyone. And if they're less talented than she is, then that's a problem. She is completely and totally unable to help or teach. She just bitches.
How frustrating was it when they did that challenge and she won it, so she was safe from elimination?
I was pissed because every week I'm waiting for her to go because she's just such a bitch to everyone.
Yeah, werewolf wounds is what they did. So anyway, let's check.
Yeah, with what's that kid's name that was in
the kid from Being Human.
Yeah, but I see him and I think of that Dylan Dog movie because he was sidekick in it.
So let's check this out, Bill.
All right.
So today is a spotlight challenge. And McKinsey is introducing all these different plants and animals. They are some of the most beautiful and some of the most deadly.
Whoa.
And there's something moving around behind this green wall.
Guys?
With this spirit.
Oh, my God.
No way.
That is awesome.
Damn.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll be damned if there's not a rhinoceros in the shop.
Wow.
That is a southern white rhino.
Holy crap.
Holy it looks like a dinosaur. Its head is as large as me. It's insane.
Pretty amazing, huh?
It's cool.
You will now select a plant and an animal and use elements from them to make your final creature makeup.
I want to do the white rhino. Sue thinks that it might not translate, and I got immunity. I should really let her do what she wants to do.
Actually, I wouldn't mind this spider.
Me neither. I think it would be pretty hot.
We come up with what I consider to be a great concept. It's got this spider face and an exoskeleton, arms, petaled leaves. Sue is very adamant about just sculpting the face. I just want to make sure that we have a costume for our creature.
You have immunity, right?
That's true.
Are you worried about that?
I believe that Becky always puts 110%.
I'm making pincers out of foam, and I'm going to make it look textured. But I look over and I see Becky is already painting her suit. So I realize that we're diverging off of different styles.
That thing was a disaster.
Are you going to shave it?
No, I'm not.
What kind of texture are you going for then?
Not that texture. That looks like... I thought you were going to make this a lot smoother.
Okay, do you think that this would look more real or this would look more real?
I would say if you're going to go with this, then
that's
your whole
she goes
spider
to somebody
needs
else to have
Sue comes over and she wants some advice from Race. I'm thinking maybe you should go ask your partner these things.
He said that this looks a little bit too clean, that maybe we can put flocking on it.
To tie in her two elements, she wants me to texturize the entire exoskeleton of this creature.
My opinion didn't matter.
Sure, no problem. I'm about to lose it. I cannot handle that Sue is so unaware of how terrible this is going to look.
Becky is working on a full body creature suit, but it looks too clean and suity.
I'm sorry, what were you discussing with Race?
Oh, she's asking him what would look better.
So my opinion doesn't matter. I think we are creating
it would be even worse
pilot.
If it was Sue Studio.
I didn't offend you or anything.
Oh my god, Sue won't stop talking.
Sue and Becky, you are next.
I'm going to be brief. Shameful. I think you both know that. The safety pylons on his arms and big giant floaty tubes coming out of his back. I really don't think that he could have won a costume contest at a third grade Halloween party.
Oh, it looks like it's got rubber barf all over it.
I thought the mask was impressive.
She suggested that we texturize the entire piece.
Wow, you have a gorgeous model under there. Where's the beauty in this? I'm so bummed out because I was really expecting it to be so cool.
Fortunately, I did take heavy direction from my partner.
That's really shitty that you're throwing her under the bus because you have immunity this week.
I disagreed with this, so I have to defend
that. That is the least of your worries.
Wow.
All right, shit. Becky, Sue, step back.
I didn't work this hard to be thrown under the bus and be thrown out of this competition unfairly.
She's so dramatic.
That's not right. I want to win this competition more than ever.
Thanks for throwing me under the bus there.
I don't think I threw you under the bus. I think you gave me such heavy direction, and I followed your direction.
You know what sucked is Athena got eliminated for their thing was pretty bad too, right?
It was painful. Like the one guy, was it George Papadopoulos that commented on the underoos?
Yeah, he's wearing underoos. But I thought it sucked that Athena got eliminated because they said, you know, she's supposed to be this great painter and she's not that great. You know, she keeps showing us. I think that the other girl should have gone home, but I think that they didn't want to just because Becky was safe or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. But
I do like that V. Neil kind of realized how much of a see you next Tuesday Becky is.
Yeah, she's like, wow, you just throw her under the bus like that. That's pretty shitty. And she knows that's shitty.
Yeah, and I thought it was funny that Glenn Hendrick's like, none of these have impressed me.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm sorry.
There was the one
what the hell is Vivica Fox there for?
I don't know. What?
What does she have to do with makeup or ever been in anything with makeup?
I don't know.
Here's Vivica Fox. She played so-and-so in Kill Bill Volume 1.
Yeah, and she was also in Independence Day. Yeah, a long
and
time
booty
ago.
Booty Call.
Yeah, and she was like, and I played a role in the Batman and Robin movie that no one remembers. You know, it's like... Yeah, we don't remember.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah, I had no idea she was in it. Was she one of the freeze girls or something?
Yes, yes. Do you remember that? I barely do. But also, the guys that won, they did have that cool plastic thing, which I thought was kind of neat.
I didn't know where they were going with that, but
it was like a rose petal or something.
I thought it was funny that the two leopard morons threw the leaves up behind her. Like that was going to say, oh, now she's part of the plan? I didn't quite get what was going on there.
How is that guy Jerry still there even?
Yeah, I like, though, that they used the one commercial thing where he's like, I don't know why Athena keeps coming over to me. I'm in the bottom every week.
Jerry's a virus.
Yes, he is a virus. The guy that says that, Jerry's a virus, and he's got the little styled curl on his hair, I'm thinking that guy might be the winner. I don't know yet, though. Just early prediction.
I don't know who. I haven't really been impressed by anyone.
In the first season, remember that we knew who the two guys that were the best pretty much by now.
Yeah, the big guy. What was his name? Well, not big as in wide, but big as in tall.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
There's the
guy
who won, and then there's the other guy that was close to it. And I guess
The cute girl was always gaga for the guy that won.
And you know what? Becky, she seems to always be at the top, so it kind of drives you nuts because she's so just like, ugh.
Well, and you know what? She does have good ideas, like that the wolf or werewolf thing where she did the scrape against the face but also the bite on the shoulder. That's clever that she thought of that and no one else did. I mean,
the one guy who had the eyeball hanging out and stuff, I was like, dude, overkill.
Yeah. Well, the one that grossed me out was the eye slash.
Yeah.
That there was no eye there. Just the depth of it freaked me out.
And he was like, it doesn't look like there was ever an eye here.
Yeah. It just, still, the flesh wound stuff I'm not good with.
Yeah, pretty grody.
It makes me very uncomfortable.
Now, Bill, let's talk about Kitchen Nightmares, and then we'll take a break. What do you say?
Yeah.
Kitchen Nightmares this week had two guys running a restaurant who knew nothing about running
a restaurant. They knew absolutely zero.
That's pretty much a recipe for Gordon to visit, I think.
Well, normally it's just a recipe for closure, but I was shocked by, you know, as he starts uncovering a little more and a little more. It's just like, what are these guys? Why did they ever do this? Why is it still open?
But I love Gordon, you know, he finds something on the menu and it was grilled Caesar salad. And
yeah,
like,
that was really embarrassing.
What is grilled Caesar salad? And then he goes and he questions the guy. And I thought it was kind of mean, but he totally embarrasses the chef in front of everybody by asking him about his experience. Let's check this out. It's pretty embarrassing.
First bite, seared scallops, avocado egg rolls, crispy shrimp wontons.
Restaurant's really wow.
Mexican, Asian, Indian. It sounds like a fusion confusion. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Nice to see you.
My name is Amy.
Amy, nice to see you.
Nice to meet you.
Likewise, I love that smile. Is there a misprint on there, or is that me? Grilled Caesar salad?
No.
Really? The lettuce is grilled.
Chop it on the grill. Never heard of that?
No, it hasn't hit London yet. I'll go for the hello.
Hi, how are you?
Before you steal my knife and fork, can you say hello?
Oh,
yeah.
My name is Kevin.
Kevin, good to see you, buddy. Can I help you?
Yeah, we're thrilled to have you here. I hope you can make some sense out of this.
Wow.
Can you excuse me for a second?
Please.
Do you remember this? The guy comes over.
No. I thought it was a thief.
That was random.
That was very random.
Yeah, I don't know what he was.
Excellent. What does Kevin do?
He's a bartender. Yeah, so he really shouldn't even be over here right now. So I don't
a bartender
even know.
That just pops up and clears tables.
He
just
wanted
to be close to the board, I guess. Okay, where were we?
Grilled salad.
Come on. It is grilled.
You're still amazed.
I'm shocked.
I've never thought about it, but it's true. Like, wait, why are we grilling lettuce?
Sorry for interrupting. Just 2 seconds. But this is a first for me. A grilled Caesar salad. Don't know, but they actually grilled the lettuce. Can you just show a hand if anyone else has ever had a grilled Caesar salad before? Anybody here? Ladies? No? Sorry for interrupting. Sorry. Oh, geez. I always get nervous when a chef serves me the butt of the lettuce. When you've got the butt of the lettuce on, you can never clean the lettuce properly. And unfortunately...
That is true. There's always, like, it's not very nice inside. Little dead plants in it or something.
Yeah.
Dry chicken. The salad looks hideous. Why is it so spicy?
Everything is spicy. Everything.
Thanks, Tommy.
We're a Mexican-American cuisine.
Well, he's clearly not from Mexico, so...
First of all, Caesar salad is not from Europe, it's from Mexico. I mean, I'm the Mexican here, you're not. It's supposed to be spicy.
What does that have to
When I arrived, he said the problem with the restaurant is the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue wasn't the food.
Yes, sir.
Seriously? Then I cannot believe that you stand there and tell yourself that your food is edible. Whosever idea it was to grill a Caesar salad was just hideous.
And the same thing was grilling a salad.
The salad wasn't even clean. That had butter and lettuce on there. But forget the grilled Caesar salad. The biggest insult, the salmon. You're all over the place. There's no thought process. What restaurant did you train in?
I went to school.
What do you mean you went to school? Where did you go out and train before you opened your own restaurant?
I didn't.
You didn't train?
Yeah, not at all.
Out of culinary school, you then went and opened your own restaurant?
That is correct.
Really? Here's it in a nutshell. You're not qualified to stand behind the line, let alone run your own business.
All you're doing is you're coming in here, trashing my background as far as where I've been, saying that all the food you ate today was okay? One man's opinion is not an issue.
You've got the arrogance to stand there and tell me that you think you're right.
Okay.
You're gone.
Listen, before you came here, all the things were working.
Working in your little mind... Or working in your mind.
I knew they needed to be tweaked.
Tweaked?
Yeah.
Working just fine till
brain
you got
surgery.
Here.
This guy's just out of control. He doesn't have any right to come in here and talk to me in that certain manner.
Get the out of here.
This is my restaurant. Show me some respect.
I gotta go.
I gotta go.
You know, I do have to bring up a bone of contention with Gordon Ramsay here.
Right.
I have had a grilled Caesar salad. Granted, the guy didn't do it right. You're supposed to split the lettuce down the center so that you can properly clean it while it's still connected to the butt. You know, and then you toss it in olive oil, a little salt and pepper, put it on the grill real short so it wilts just the littlest bit. It's kind of like a hot spinach salad whenever there's like that hot bacon dressing on it.
Right.
But it's not uncommon. It's not as uncommon as he says it is.
How could Gordon have heard of this?
You know, he's just being an asshole.
That's
basically
what
I'm thinking.
Because
it's this one,
I mean, if you
mine.
Put grilled Caesar salad into Google, you're going to come up with a grilled Caesar salad.
Now, I learned something here. I didn't realize that Caesar salad was Mexican food.
That guy is such an asshole. It is not Mexican. It was created by Caesar Cardini, who was an Italian immigrant who opened a restaurant in Mexico.
So
in Tijuana, of all places.
And Caesar salad, hey, it's Mexican food.
It's Italian, you dumb shit. I mean, come on. I mean, that just shows how limited he is. He didn't go to culinary school. He has no friggin' idea.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is they do that meeting with all the employees where the owners are in the back watching on a monitor. And Gordon says, tell me about this place. And they're like, well, you know, they treat us bad. One guy doesn't listen to us. The other guy's rude. He makes comments about me being fat and Spanish and all these things. And they really
fato asso.
They really join in and they kind of talk about everything that upsets them about it. And then he goes, well, the owners, they've been listening. And they're like, what? And they all look terrified when
when he does that. He's done that how many times now? Like 4 or 5?
Yeah. And they're all like, what? And they all look kind of scared. And the guy comes in. One of the things they say, I notice, is that the owner, the black guy, he gets drunk or he drinks a lot of alcohol every single night. And they
what else is there to do?
Yeah, and they never address that. You know, Gordon never says, are you going to drink anymore? He never says that. I guess the guy's going to keep on drinking. I don't know. But they all say, wow, you know, it's really, I'm glad you brought this up and I'm going to try to change now. Were they really that clueless? I don't know. But
I don't know how it stayed open. I don't even know how it's still open if it is.
I expected them to go, unfortunately, but they didn't. But one thing is, weird is that Gordon did his thing where they remodeled the place. I think they remodeled it, didn't they? And they
slightly, yeah.
It was nice looking. It was decent looking. But no, what he did is he redid the menu. And he brought even the girl from Hell's Kitchen. I forget her name. She came in there. She was teaching him stuff. It was several of his people to teach him how to work the menu and all that. And one guy, for some reason, he acts like a total ass about it.
Yeah, I didn't quite get what he was all upset about.
He's really been out of shape about making chicken wings. And he was like, are you going to put on an orange shirt and serve them? Because I then realized, like, oh, he's talking about Hooters. Like, chicken wings, Hooters. And I didn't come here to work. And first of all, the guy has a mohawk and a tattoo on his neck.
Well, he obviously, he has no idea that the chicken wing is one of the most flavorful parts of the chicken. It's... I love chicken wings. What is so bad about a chicken wing? You know, is there a chicken wing stigma?
He's acting like he worked at this, you know, fine dining restaurant, and now he's working. And they've turned it into a Hooters or something.
You work at a restaurant where the head chef has never went to culinary school.
Yeah, they didn't serve good food, and it's funny that he's making a stand at this and acting like a dick. And Gordon, and I haven't heard Gordon cuss someone out like this, like, since Boiling Point on
him. Yeah, no, you're right.
He, like, really just tells the guy to shut the F up, and he's getting pissed off about him. But let's check this out, because this guy is a total dumbass. It's pretty weird. I thought it was so strange he acted this way.
Yeah,
Chef Ramsay has brought in his team to spend all day training the Park's Edge kitchen staff.
There's a saute, and there's a grill.
But not everyone is on board with the changes.
And then there's a fry station.
Okay, so you do the fry station.
No, I will absolutely not cook a chicken wing.
You won't cook a chicken wing?
No.
What's that?
Don't feel comfortable frying a chicken wing.
Why not?
Unless she wants to put on a pair of orange shorts and go out there and serve
it. My mother was a chicken.
Oh, he says orange shorts.
Okay.
You going to turn around and give them a hard time? Check yourself before you check them out, okay? I'm going to ask you again.
He has this huge ego about fried chicken. This is really irrelevant. He's going to do what I tell him to do, not what he wants to do.
What's going on?
You put a bunch of chicken wings on the menu. Okay. I think somebody ought to put some orange shorts on there and go out and serve them.
Okay. How about a little bit of respect and showing these two guys?
A respect for a fine dining restaurant and not putting chicken wings on the menu.
A fine dining restaurant.
Are you listening to yourself?
Where?
Who the fuck you are? I don't think I am. A guy that knows when a menu sucks.
How dare you get jumped up
telling the owners the menu?
Because you think you know better. Why aren't you doing better? Why haven't you got your own restaurant? How about having the intelligence to calm down and to start again?
Is that possible, yes or no?
It's possible.
Will you do it, yes or no?
Yes.
Thank you.
Matt needs to be up on board or get out.
Show me what to do so I can do it.
Thank you.
How long on wings?
This is ridiculous.
Come on, Matt. I know you hate the wings, but just serve them, please. Hate me. Don't hate the wings.
Got your orange shorts?
No. Orange shorts. Cut the to the end of service, okay, big boy?
Come on.
Hey, you. While you want to around and take the piss, let me tell you something really important.
What's that?
Yeah. I've forgotten more than you know. Just serve the food and shut the up, smart ass.
Matt.
Okay. What is the big deal?
Have a good time.
You're not having a good time, man. You're making life tough.
I'm having a good time.
Why is he acting like that?
Because he's a jackass. Matt is beyond the weakest link. You are here to do a job. Do it.
Poor Billy's in the window.
But all of an hour, it's Hell's Kitchen.
I know you don't care, but I do. And you're supposed to be working hard tonight to help get this place turned around. Why are you now trying to sabotage it? Mr. thinks he can't cook a chicken wing. Can't even drop a piece of pork in the fryer. Look at it. Dried piece of overcooked pork belly. He's going to start sending us down.
Matt, you seriously want to me over right now?
Who?
Why are you being a piece of for them?
I don't know if there's something wrong with Matt or not. I'm not a violent man by any means, but if he it up for me tonight, I will literally do something.
I'm still waiting on a pork belly.
Okay, I want a pork belly. Talk to me, guys. How you doing?
Plating, chef.
Thank you.
It's almost like he's trying to destroy his whole dinner service.
Why were you up service tonight? You're making me look like
chill out with the drama.
What'd you say?
I said chill out with the drama.
Get out of here
drama
right now.
Jorge has had enough.
Get the out right now.
Oh, thank you, narrator.
You know what? What'd you say? Get out of here.
All right, it's cool if you're going to be serious like that.
Matt.
See ya.
Hey,
Jorge.
Well done.
Step up now.
I will.
Yeah, get together and make it happen.
See you, man. I love that he goes, get the F out of here. And he goes, okay. And he turns around and keeps working. He's like, no, get out of here. But I got to tell you, when this episode was over, I was craving pork belly.
Oh, I love pork belly.
I want some.
It's incredible.
I don't think I've ever eaten it like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's so much you can do with pork belly, too. I mean, it's not just bacon anymore.
Yeah, I've had bacon, but I don't think I've had pork belly. I'm ready to go order it somewhere. Where can I go and get it tonight after the show?
That place.
I know Denny's doesn't have it.
Denny's doesn't. Arby's doesn't either.
I'll have the pork belly sandwich, please. But that was funny. The guy was like, yeah, you know what? I'll do something. You know, he's like, wow, you have nothing. Yeah, you can't even, like, make
We need to send him to simile school.
He can't, like, I'll kill that guy. He's like, I'll
kill that guy as much as a dead man.
He just spit it out. Make it quick and easy what you're going to say.
Yes, I love what the editors choose to use.
Or clean a toilet bowl or shop by mail.
I love shopping by mail.
But I love Gordon. He was the way he goes, smoss. He says it like smoss.
Did you also notice he was so angry that he almost said sabotage?
Sabotage. Yeah, sabotage. He did.
Fuck, sabotage.
I did notice that. He was like, sabotage their engine. So here it is. He goes,
why are you now trying to sabotage it?
Sabotage.
It's very close to sabotage.
I love that. And you notice when he gets pissed off, he sounds more British-y?
He drops all pretenses of being, you know, I'm in America.
Yeah.
He goes full Scottish.
Shut the up, smartass.
Smartass. I love the way he says that. It's great. All right, Bill, what do you say we take a break and we go to the restroom and clean the toilet, make it quick and easy, and we'll be right back.
All right.
Sound good?
I'm going to order from the mail real quick.
All right, nice.
I will literally do something.
Siri, loud and clear. Take off.
Roger.
Launching exciting new Sonic Rangers.
Prepare to dive. Go for it.
These headsets are voice activated, so instead of fooling with on and off buttons, your hands are free for other things.
Turbulence ahead. I read you.
New Sonic Rangers, built tough for wherever the action takes you.
Armor now!
New Sonic Rangers from Fisher-Price. Batteries not included.
What will the future bring from Nintendo? More hits like Super Mario Brothers. Sports hits like Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Nintendo has the most video game hits. Hogan's Alley, The Legend of Zelda, and more like Metroid, Rad Racer, and you can play them only on the Nintendo Entertainment System. Now you're playing with power.
From Walt Disney Pictures, it's time for magic.
Look at what she did.
It's time for excitement.
Please wait.
It's time for Cinderella. Walt Disney's animated spectacular is back for the holiday.
That could be more than that.
And now is the time to see it.
We haven't a moment to lose.
Only at a theater near you.
That means I can go too.
Walt Disney's classic, Cinderella, rated G. Now playing at a theater near you.
Psycho Turbo Hoppers. These sons of guns pack turbocharged engines. With you at the radio controls, there ain't no place they can't go. Turn them and they slip under, over, around the darndest places. Send them cannonballing off a cliff. Yahoo! There's no stopping them. Want more speed? Give it a blast of turbo power. If it's the one and only Tyco Turbo Hopper, it's a winner. Get the real Turbo Hoppers. Only from Tyco RC.
This is the Ghostbusters. Come on out.
Ghostbusters!
Today at 4, they're coming at you. They're the real Ghostbusters. The Real Ghostbusters, today at 4 on TV 44.
Goofy glasses on, they know. Hanging out in crazy clothes. Just one touch and whoa, surprise. They're struck with wild hugs inside. Wonder. You can see it in their eyes. They're struck with wild hugs, I say wild hugs inside.
Than ever from Worlds of Wonder.
It is a time when those who control the magic control destiny. When spectral knights battle evil darkling lords.
Knights of the magical light. Visionaries with magical powers they fight. Visionaries.
Dagger of Fall 4! Quick! Warn Spectral Knight! It's the Darkling Lord! Capture chariots to the rescue!
Visionaries!
Visionaries from Hasbro.
In deepest space of battle rages between the evil Shadow Force and
Sarkar.
Look, the Shadow Star.
Emperor Dark.
His master teleportation
and dematerialization.
Look out, Slim.
Hey, that's top secret.
Now the secrets of Magnavagan power deploy on Mars!
My polarizing death!
Too late, Krovar, but he'll be back.
Sarkar, the fight for freedom rages.
You've got to take the hill before the enemy does. So you bring in the Super Flux. Time is important. You must work fast. So you build the combat battle tank, the Hawk missile launcher, the Peacekeeper, and the air cavalry copter with Super Flux. Then you attack with missiles and cannon fire as you close in on the enemy. You've taken the hill. You've done it with Super Flux. They work with Lego too. Tyco Super Flux, military series, 5 great building sets, each sold separately from Tyco.
Oh, wisest wizard, I have a question.
I know.
This is fruit-weak cereal.
I know.
There's fruit in every bite.
I know.
So how did I get the fruit inside the wheat?
I don't know.
Real strawberry, apple, or raisin in every bite. New fruit-weak cereal, part of this nutritious breakfast. There's fruit hidden in every bite.
And I'm going to find out how they do it.
The fish gone.
That pink two-wheeler, please, for the Toys R Us kids. If I could only have it. There'd be so much I could do. Go shopping for Mom, mail letters for Dad. A paper route would be so cool, I'd follow every traffic rule. And then a big race. I bet I could win. Oh, wow, I learned to ride it. Soon as Mom and Dad show me how.
Toys R Us, you'll never outgrow us.
I call for Moon Dreamers, and Moon Dreamers work for me. I care for the beautiful hair, for me they glow magically. Moon Dreamers work for me.
Go for the Moon Dreamers, who eat so separately with a dream crystal.
Me and my friends are jam girls, and now we're going gold. Because jam's got gold, glitter and gold, just so exciting and beautifully bold. Come on, come on, and be a jam girl.
Kellogg's Corn Flakes is part of this nutritious breakfast.
Hi, Peter. Peter, what are you doing? Peter, Kellogg's Corn Flakes. That's Daddy's cereal. There's lots of cereals for you, but those are Daddy's, Peter.
Now, a special offer from Kellogg's Corn Flakes. 100 free stamps let you join the excitement and adventure of Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future. And they're yours free in specially marked boxes of Kellogg's Corn Flakes.
Hey, Sal, this is what it says here in Car and Driver. To say that Hyundai's success has been phenomenal would be an understatement.
I don't want
to
hear about it.
The name that nobody could pronounce 3 years ago has become a household word.
I don't want to hear about it.
Once synonymous with durability, quality.
I told you I don't want to hear about it.
You don't want to hear about it.
Hyundais are very dependable, but some people don't want to hear about it. Hyundai, we're making more sense than ever.
Is there anyone out there who still isn't clear about what doing drugs does? Okay, last time. This is your brain. This is drugs. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions?
Today, there's an unprecedented new cold and sinus medicine. Introducing Coadvil, the only cold and sinus medicine that combines the pain reliever in Advil with a proven decongestant. A combination you could never get in one tablet before, even by prescription. Just one Coadvil can relieve nasal congestion, sinus pressure, and the aches and pains of your cold. All that relief without making you drowsy. Read label before using. New Coadvil, advanced formula for cold and sinus relief.
Tuesday.
I got a pair.
So do I.
Yeah, but Roseanne's are showing.
You guys think we don't get your corny little sex jokes?
Hey, you kids are our corny little sex
jokes. Roseanne then got a twitch.
Get a shrink.
In the past, how have you coped with your personal stress?
I got a divorce.
Coach Tuesday.
Just for the fun of it, just for the one of it, just for the taste of it, Diet Coke. Just for the stuff of it,
just for the style of it,
the real cola taste of it, Diet Coke. Just for the joy of it, just for the just for the look of it, Diet Coke. Just for the taste of it,
Coca-Cola.
Just for the taste of it.
Yes, quick and easy is how you make a cake, or clean a toilet bowl, or shop by mail.
Yes, exactly.
I just figured it out.
What's that?
That Tango and Cash is a satire because none of those things are quick and easy.
Oh,
so they're like making fun of themselves.
Oh, it's not supposed to make sense. It's supposed to be the opposite. Wow.
It's a total joke. It's a joke on us.
Wow. It's bad movie. It's a really bad movie.
It's just meant to be.
Wow. I love it. Genius. Not.
We're going to get FUBAR now.
Yeah, it's FUBAR, Bill.
Mm.
All right, Bill, let's talk about Top Chef Texas.
I like those almost more than whatchamacallits.
Me too. Oh, whatchamacallits. Those are good.
Oh, they're so good.
I'll cut your bloody throat.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, all right.
He doesn't want you to take his candy bar, I guess. I'm glad that's funny to him. Now, Top Chef Texas, Bill, who...
Now, I have to apologize to you up front.
Okay.
I didn't watch it.
Oh.
I had to make Sophie's Choice. It was either Face Off or Top Chef Texas.
Okay.
So you're going to have to describe this to me like I'm an idiot.
In graphic
because I am.
Detail.
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
Okay, well, remember last week we find out they told them about Last Chance Kitchen. Someone
yeah, and that's why I'm so upset that I didn't get to watch it, because I wanted to know what happened.
So it would either be Grayson or Beverly returning.
Mm-hmm.
All of their...
Both of whom I like very much.
Right.
In fact, when Grayson left, I was like, shit, no one's left that I can cheer for.
Right. Ed, he's like, Beverly's going to return. That girl Sarah, I think the one we can't stand, you know, She's like, no way. Grayson is going to return. She's going to kick Bev's ass.
She's the one with the head like a bowling ball.
Right. And she doesn't like Beverly for whatever reason. She just doesn't like her, and she's mean to her. Right?
Yeah.
And so I'm going to play this clip, and it'll let you know who returns. Okay?
All right.
Oh, and they did, before I play the clip, they also did the thing where they each... Basically, each chef they train under another chef, right? Think of they're Padawan chefs, right?
Yeah, they really are. Yeah,
you cook with the chef; he teaches you everything they know, and then eventually you go off on your own and you learn your own thing and have your own influences and that kind of thing. And well, they're returning their masters this week.
They're returning their masters,
and you should have seen when they walk in, and it's each master that taught these. Students, you know, who are now chefs in their own right.
Yeah, big-time chefs.
Everybody just starts crying. It's a big cry fest.
Oh, my God!
Tears of joy, tears of being proud of them.
Of fear.
The only one who's not crying is Ed. He's just kind of standing there going, yeah, and he kind of pats Paul. Paul is the first one who loses it. He's just crying, and then Beverly kind of turns around and kind of pats him, and then she starts crying, and then the other two girls crying, they're all crying, and then you see the chefs that walk in, they're crying, and it's just a big cry fest.
What the hell is with all the estrogen?
And Ed, he's like so uncomfortable, he's just kind of like, well, I don't really cry much. He's like trying to make excuses about it, like why he's not crying.
Because I'm a heartless asshole.
I just don't get emotional. So what they have to do is create a meal for their chefs about what they think that they would enjoy, and also show them what you've learned since you've left them. So it actually is pretty tough, you know, in a way.
That's a strange challenge.
Right.
It's just very strange.
So two of the chefs knocked it out of the park. Two of them did.
Okay. Was this a blind thing?
What do you mean?
Like, did the chefs know whose dish they were eating?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
They okay, because I just thought maybe there would be, you know, certain.
Well, here's the rub, Bill.
All right.
Before they even do this, they do a quick fire. Okay, and the quick fire, whoever wins it can either pick a new Toyota Prius. Or they can go right to the finale, and they don't even have to cook in the competition.
I go to the finale. Well, Prius is underpowered.
Guess who wins it? The one girl that we hate the most wins that.
Bowling ball hen.
She picks, I'm going to go to the finale. And she's like, oh, I get to go to finale. And she's
like, then we get to see her lose.
I'm the first one in there. Woo. And her and her chef, they go out to eat, and she doesn't have to do any of the tasks. Right. So I'm like, oh, God, why are they making us sit through this? Because I don't think anyone can stand her. I certainly can't. Because even when Beverly walks in, she's like, oh, man, I just gave it away. Damn it. Hey, let's check this out, Bill.
To be honest, I don't want anyone Jason. Back.
Hi, Chef.
Good morning.
Morning. Nervous?
Yes. Always.
As you know, the eliminated chefs have been competing in another competition.
And another
Top
TV
Chef,
show.
Last Chance Kitchen. And now let's
They've
meet the winner and find out
Baker.
Who will be joining you to fight for the title of Top Chef. Chef, please come in.
You called it. I am not happy to see Bev. She's off in her own Bevland. I'm not buying a ticket to go there anytime soon.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Bev.
Welcome back.
Winning Last Chance Kitchen was a huge honor.
Beverly, you are the champion of Last Chance Kitchen. Oh, chefs, I gotta say, she really earned her spot back in. You know, if she continues to cook the way she
you
cooked in Last Chance Kitchen, you're in for some trouble.
What kind of oysters you got today?
Oysters? I don't have any oysters.
Oysters, they're the main component of my dish. And there's no fresh oysters today.
Can I open one up? I'll buy them.
I find these smoked oysters in a can. I open one up. They've got nice flavor.
Is that a good idea?
I'll take
no.
Thank you, man. You want to see me cry?
You want to see me cry?
I can't. You know what?
I'm not a crier.
You got close yesterday.
Yeah, I got real close yesterday. Yeah.
Yesterday, our mentors came out. Everyone starts crying like a freaking school child.
Paul cried. You cried. You cried. I gotta cry.
This challenge is really making me more emotional than I'm showing, but I may be crying on the inside.
I don't want to go home.
Beverly and Paul.
Absolutely.
You served our favorite dishes of the evening. Congratulations. Both of you will be moving on to the finals.
Ed, those pickles were insanely amazing. The plum, the celery, like so genius. Just the oyster sauce. Something was slightly off about it. I couldn't figure out if that was the best way.
Ed, were those canned oysters?
They were smoked canned. Yeah, smoked canned.
Yeah.
There's not a single fresh oyster to be found. At that point, I made a split.
So you didn't have fresh oysters at all?
Yeah.
That's what that was.
So.
And just, there were just so many things going on the plate. It was just a little busy. Do you have a great dish somewhere in that dish? Sure. You got a great thing going on somewhere in there. But its cons kind of jumped up to the forefront.
It's really great to watch Beverly. I mean, she was out of the competition. She got back into the Last Chance Kitchen. She has her spot. She cooked her way in. She did a great job.
If I take Ed's dish and just remove that oyster sauce, I think it would have played as an entirely different dish. Those pickles were totally stellar. I loved the pork crackling on top.
The guy's great. He's just a really busy-minded chef, though.
I gotta say, I'm shocked to listen to him say he goes to the market looking for fresh oysters, and then, smoke's good enough. Smoke can, we'll work with that. It's not like someone put a gun to his head and said, you have to get those smoked oysters.
Don't get fixated on the recipe. You need to go to the store and figure out what's great in the market, and then cook from there.
So, yeah, it was bye-bye Ed, Bill.
I'm shocked that anybody would use smoked oysters. I mean, that's like bar food.
Yeah.
That's it. You open those, pour them in a bowl, and then eat them with Ritz crackers. I don't put that in food.
There's a lot I don't know about food, but when he said he was using canned oysters, I knew immediately that was a huge mistake.
Smoked oysters, they're basically dehydrated whenever they're smoked, and then put in – normally they're packed in oil. Like an olive oil or something.
Right.
And they don't taste like an oyster. That's the problem. It's once they're smoked and they lose kind of that sea brininess, they just it's really overwhelming. I'm shocked.
So when they ate his meal, they were like, what is that weird aftertaste in here? That's really weird.
You fucking wanker.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. He deserved to go on that choice alone.
You know what's crazy about Beverly is she seems like such a sweet person, you know, and she smiles no matter how much anyone abuses her or is rude to her. She just smiles it off, you know. I want her to kick that other
girl's
ass.
I want her to
ass.
Win the whole thing.
I do, too. I really like Paul, too. He seems like a really cool guy.
He seems very nice, very pleasant.
One thing that I was thinking as I was watching it is, you know, Paul and Beverly were there. And they're both, you know, obviously Asian. And there was Ed. And I was thinking, how funny it would be if the final three were three Asian people.
The three samurai.
But, man, did he screw up. Yeah. Ed did.
Just dumb. Really dumb. And I think he's self-trained. He's not – he didn't go to culinary school or train under anyone, right?
I think – well, he did train under whoever his chef was there.
Okay.
But the girl Lindsay, the blonde girl – she trained her in that Michelle lady who's been on Top Chef Masters. I don't know. When she walks in, she's like, you know, everyone knows who she is. And I've seen her as a judge on the show before.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And when she messes up, she's like crying. She's like, I didn't want to shame her. And they're like, you didn't. You spaz.
Wow.
Calm down. Just calm down, lady. So she was a big spaz.
That seems like a very dangerous competition for people that aren't emotionally prepared for that.
Right. She even says there's no crying in fine dining, I know, but, you know. And when Beverly comes walking in there that she's made it to value, they do a close-up of that girl, Sarah's face. She's just like, you know, that sounds like, no. I don't know what her problem is with her, but. Whatever. She's a big phony, and they're going to...
Yeah. Well, Beverly, she just seems like the type of person that it wouldn't... She never say anything bad about someone unnecessarily kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's funny when Tom Colicchio was like, you know, you guys better look out for Beverly because she really earned her place back in. You know, she beat several. And you can see there's the one girl's like, oh, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so I want her to kick her ass. All right, so that's next week is the finale. And they're not in Texas anymore. They go somewhere else. I think Colorado or something. I can't
remember. Oh, well, that's because it's called Top Chef Texas.
Colorado. They always do that for the finale. They change it up or whatever.
What was the one that they went like to Puerto Rico for the finale? And it was like, wait, you spent the whole season calling it Top Chef Chicago.
Yeah.
And then you go to Puerto Rico?
Now, Bill, I want to talk about a new show that I mean. Did you watch the first only the first hour or both hours of
only the
River?
First hour?
Okay, let's talk about The River. Now, okay. The thing that excited me about The River is that it was a found footage TV show, which is really weird. It's a weird concept. I don't know.
Yeah, you got to figure out how that would work.
How do you do that every week? Because you got to think about if there's a whole season of a show. Whatever found footage, did they find a case of VHS tapes?
Yeah. Well, what we've figured out is that it's not as much found footage, it's just it uses that technique with multiple cameras on a ship.
Well, yeah, what it is there, the basis of it is this family who would travel to the Amazon and stuff like that, and they had cameras all over their boat because their whole show was covering everything they did, I guess, right?
It was like the Crocodile Hunter.
Right. With his family.
Yeah.
So like the whole country watched this, and they grew up along with the son and everything. But now he's an adult, and his dad was still doing his show or whatever, and he's disappeared. And people looked for him for a while, and they gave up the search. But all of a sudden, his beacon has turned on, so people are looking for him. The wife wants to go look for him, and you get the feeling of different things gone on, like she had an affair on him or something. And my guess
something is, happened there.
My guess is the cameraman guy, the guy filming everything. I don't know.
The
documentary guy.
Yeah. The smarmy guy, yeah.
Yeah, the English chap. And so the whole show will be them looking for the husband. And at first it's just kind of like documentary footage. There's just cameras following everywhere. And the guy even has this cool kind of from-the-air remote-controlled camera. You know, like, because when it first cuts to that scene where there's like a aerial shot of like a helicopter is obviously filming. And I'm like, wait a second, if this is found, and then they show it, it's like a remote control camera. I'm like, oh, okay. But when they find the boat, the Magus, there's cameras everywhere all over the boat for whatever reason. And the reasons are pretty thin, but they need that to do the TV show.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's.
I mean, there's even a camera. There was camera in the ductwork too.
Yeah, there's a hidden camera in the ductwork. Mm. So there's cameras everywhere, and it's basically Big Brother on a boat, right?
Yeah.
While they look for things, and the first episode, it's the pilot episode, and you saw that one where basically it's some kind of smoke monster type thing flying around. They never show what it is.
But there's some sort of. I don't know if you would call it magic or, like, witchcraft. I don't know what the hell is going on there.
Some kind of apparition, a soul, a lost soul of some kind. Because they said it was once this guy who worked on the boat or something.
Yeah, Cam Travers.
Yeah, and now he's killing people or whatever. So I was like, okay, that's interesting. And, you know, you and I kind of talked about it a little. If this was all that was after them, it'd be pretty lame.
Yeah.
And
well, they solve it in one episode, kind of like, well, is this going to be like a freak of the week kind of thing?
Right. There's some kind of weird soul catching thing that he opens up not knowing what it is and sets all hell breaks loose. And one of the cameramen dies. But then he gets it back in there and throws it overboard, which I thought was funny. Throw it overboard.
I thought it was strange that couldn't a fish touch it and open it again?
Yeah. Is it going to come open again? I don't know.
Would it open when it hits the water?
But one thing I do like, I thought was really cool, is Cosmo is on the show. And do you know who I'm talking about, Cosmo?
Not off the top of my head.
The escape artist from The Cape, that show we watched. Remember? He's the security guy on the boat, and he's got all the guns and stuff. His name was the.
You're right.
He was.
How the heck did you remember that?
I was just like, where do I know this guy? And it's kind of like halfway the show, I go, oh, oh, like I remembered it.
Wow, yeah.
So one thing, I'm a sucker for found footage, but what's so funny is they do found footage flashbacks of when they did the TV show, which I thought was really clever.
I would like more of those because I like Bruce Greenwood. I think he's a good actor.
Yeah, I really wish you watched the second hour.
I will watch it tonight.
Because, you know, after they get rid of the Lost Soul or whatever, it's basically two episodes they showed, the two-hour premiere.
Okay.
And they...
I wish they would just make it 2 hours then. Stop splitting in half.
Yeah, it's the same thing they did with Alcatraz. They just showed two episodes. So the second episode is they track... They're, you know, they're tracking Bruce Greenwood. They're trying to look for him. And I forget how they wind up on this little inland place. And they get out of the boat and they're exploring and they find a spirit tree. At least that's what they call it.
Okay.
But what's really cool, I don't want to spoil anything, but they hear a girl laughing.
Oh.
And so they start following the laughing and they see a little girl, like her little face in the bushes, wherever. And she's like, little girl, come here. You know, where are your parents? Whatever. And they get close. It turns and it's a monkey.
What in the world?
It's freaky. The way that they did that was, it freaked me out because it's a child's face, but he turns his head up and he's wearing like a porcelain doll thing on the top of his head. So picture like a baby's face and you get closer and closer. Then he tilts his head up.
Oh, that's
and like,
creepy.
He's like, ah! And they're like, holy shit. And what's great is they have F-bombs in the show left and right. But
they bleep them.
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
Yeah, I like that.
Because everyone's cussing on the show. Bleep, like, what the bleep was that? And the son, who's now an adult, he had this teddy bear he kept with him everywhere. You know, when he was a kid. You know, he's always had this teddy bear. People who watched the show knew what it was. Well, he finds his bear in the tree. With all these dolls, like people have brought dolls and toys and hung them in the tree. And it's really creepy, like these old porcelain dolls, but his teddy bear is up there. And he's like, well, hell, I'm getting that back. So, it's getting dark and they're like, well, we're going to have to camp here. And they're like, are you serious? We're going to camp in the creepiest place they've ever seen in their lives. You know, this creepy tree with dolls all over it. And he's like, well, I'm going to take my teddy out. And he takes the teddy down. And, then they do creepy things with doll heads moving, Bill, and eyes opening and stuff like that. What's great is the one guy, you know, he's like, we need to get some extra cameras around here. He goes, I'll put some up in the tree. You know, the black guy. He puts one up in the tree right in front of a doll's head. And at one point, there's the doll sitting there, and you see it turn its head as the guy's he's taking his teddy bear out of the tree, and the doll's turning and watching him, you know? So, at this point, when they're walking around, he gets tugged on as he's in his tent, the son. And he's like, and he freaks out and he starts running. And they're like, what's going on? What's going on? He's like, something grabbed me. Oh, I'm freaking out, man. And so while the mom is standing there next to the river, an arm comes up out of the river and pulls her in. And they're trying to pull her out and they finally get her free. And here she's explaining to them that something grabbed her. And the son is like, yeah, right. This is like an inch deep water. There's no way. And he goes, well, I did see an arm come out and grabbed her, and he's got it on film too, right?
Holy crap.
So this guy is like, yeah, whatever, butt out. And he goes, no, I'm not going to butt out. I'm telling you, I have evidence of this happening. And what's great is they tell him, he goes, I don't know why, whatever the spirit, okay, there's a ghost here, why would it attack us now or whatever? And then he notices the teddy bear and he's like, hey, why did you take that? And he goes, well, it's mine. It was mine when I was a little kid. So they're
not anymore.
They're making him put the teddy bear back. And this is the best scene in the thing, is he puts the teddy bear back in the tree and they're all standing there looking at it, and it goes and falls off the tree. And they're like, tie it on there better. And he goes, I did. And he ties it back on. And they're sitting there looking at it. A beat passes, and then the bear falls off again. And then the guy, the security guy, is like, damn it. And he grabs a wire, and he's like tying it up there really, really good and tight and everything. And then a beat happens, and then something crazy happens. But let's check this out, Bill.
Someone was grabbing me.
Okay, so what you're saying then is that someone is in this stream in, what, less than half a foot of water?
Are you sure?
Easy on the lady, Clark. I saw a hand grab her.
Stay out of this, please, AJ.
I see a dead hand reaching out of the ground, and Dan was staying in it. I mean, we both pulled her out. What do you think, Evan?
Like I said, thank you.
Wait, I remember we used to sit around the campfire in Emmett. He'd tell stories, legends from wherever we were. And there's this one from the Amazon. La Tejada, the abandoned one. Do you remember? There's a little girl from far away whose mother is too busy for her. So she plays by herself in the forest. One day her doll falls in the river. Her mother isn't there to help her, so she goes in by herself to try to get it, but she falls in and drowns. They never find her body. They can't even bury her. They say her spirit gets lonely, so she brings people to the river to drown. So many people died, locals began leaving her gifts, so she'd leave them alone. Maybe this tree's for her.
She must have been from one of the old British colonial families.
Well, that explains the dolls, but why is it coming after us?
I don't know.
You took this from the tree.
Come on, man. It's hard enough to believe there's a ghost out here, but one this mad we took his toys? Please,
give it back.
Can't believe I'm doing this. Okay, I'm sorry I took my bear. There. You happy now?
I think we all passed a good night's sleep. Sun's coming up soon. Let's pick up the Aspen's trail.
Put it back tight carefully.
I did.
Do it again.
So it falls again.
That was one of the dolls.
What the hell?
One of the dolls goes, "Mommy," and one of the better parts that just was—it's creepy. It's not scary, but the black guy's like, "Okay, if this place is haunted, I want you, doll, to open your eyes." And he's holding the camera in front of the doll. You know, one of those dolls that when you lift it up, its eyes open. He's
yeah.
like, "Come on, open your eyes. I thought you were haunted." But the doll behind him is looking right at him, and he's not noticing it.
Dude, it's freaking me out. You're just talking about it.
It was really fun and entertaining. And I was like, this is a primetime TV show. We need something like this. It's just creepy, I think.
Yeah.
It's scary. And it is completely ridiculous. But the thing is, like, the son, he's a believer by the end of the episode. They all, okay, whatever is going on in this river, it's crazy supernatural shit. Let's just keep looking for the dad. And yeah. I forget what it is, but
they already said that there's like the guy with the guns is there under false pretense.
Yeah.
And so that they are wondering if Bruce Greenwood found the source. Is that what it is?
Yeah. And there's even something with the blonde girl. Well, she has some kind of birthmark that makes her something. I thought it was all so silly, but.
Well, she seems to be the convenient story mover.
Right.
Like, she's the one that always knows the myth or legend.
Yeah, she knows all about it. She shows up out of nowhere like, "Hey, why didn't you call me?" or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's kind of funny. But the mom is the one, like, frantic lady who kind of
drives me crazy. That's yeah. That's the hardest thing I had with the pilot. Was that she just seemed out of place.
And it freaked me out when I realized who she was. She's Jack Bauer's wife from the first season of 24.
Yeah, I've figured that. I when I was watching it, I kind of had one of those moments that you had with the guy with the guns and
yeah.
Cosmo. I was like, who is she? I know her. Is her hair? Yes, her hair's shorter. She's his wife, Jack Bauer's wife. Yeah.
But I like that on the show, they're like, okay, we get it. This is a ghost here. What can we do to get it to leave us alone? There's no like, come on, guys, there's no ghost. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's not like Paranormal Activity where the guy taunts the ghost.
Yeah, no. The most it was the black guy, but he's a believer by the end of the episode. No.
I don't know how he couldn't be a believer after the first episode.
Right.
Where he sees the cameraman taken off the boat.
Right. And then what's cool is it looks like the next episode deals with, you know, there's birds falling out of the sky and stuff. So each week there will be something you know, different, playing havoc on them. And I saw that it's only 8 episodes is the first season. So, I mean, it'll be easy to, it'll come and go, and hopefully, I like found footage stuff. I think it's,
it'll be interesting to see where they go with it.
It, you know, there's, we've seen good found footage, we've seen bad. I think the pilot was kind of weak, but I thought the second episode was much better. And it just cracks me up. The whole premise is so just like hard to swallow of, okay, there's cameras everywhere all over this boat. Because
and the other thing that bothered me is they get on this boat. Who knows how long has it been stuck in that spot on the river?
It's
like
rusted,
6 months?
Yeah, it's all, it looks all crappy and rusted.
And in that environment, that muggy, like bug-ridden environment, everything still works in that room. All those racks of servers.
Dude, they've got an editing suite.
Editing bay. Yeah, that all
got,
still works.
They've got night vision cameras.
And there's one TV that's always static that was driving me crazy.
Yeah.
If it's static, turn it off.
You know what I got a cool vibe from while I was watching it? Because, you know, as the guy sitting there and he's looking at all the monitors and stuff, I was like, dude, I'm totally getting a Night Trap Sega CD vibe from this.
Yeah.
And I guess, I don't know, it's just something about it. It's so gimmicky, but I guess that's what I liked about it. But the whole...
I'll watch the second episode. And
there's something about the creepy dolls, you know?
Dolls always creep me out, those porcelain dolls.
I love that the guy didn't want to give his teddy bear back because he's like, dude, it's my doll. I don't understand why this ghost thinks it's his, you know, or thinks it's hers. It's my doll. You know, he's like, you've got to give your doll back to the ghost, okay? It's like, well, this is bullshit, man. And I just love
why does he want the freaking teddy bear so bad?
It's like his when he's a little – because there's flashbacks with him and his dad and his teddy, you know, his little teddy bear.
Well, he doesn't need his safety blanket anymore.
I know. He's
grown up.
It's funny, though, when he gets dragged out of his tent by some unseen force, how just freaked out he is by – he's like, dude, I'm up. I'm not going back to sleep.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's – interesting, you know, new show on TV. It's like, you know, we have The Walking Dead, we have a zombie show. I like the idea of also having a found footage scary show too. Throw it all in there. We need a RoboCop TV show, right, Bill? No, wait, they already did that
one. No, yeah, that happened.
All right, Bill, let's talk about Alcatraz. It's the first episode with a guard.
Yeah, Guy Hastings.
Yes, played by Hoyt.
Yes, it is Hoyt.
Hoyt. Isn't Hoyt a weird name?
It is. It's
a sound, Hoyt.
It is. Hoyt. It even makes that sound as it leaves your lips, like it kind of a whistle. Hoyt.
So Hoyt, apparently, you know, we kind of learned some things here where wherever you come from, they give you some kind of task to do that you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking for the uncle character, Tommy something.
Yeah.
And who's the girl's uncle. You know, I'm going to learn these names. I know it's Doc Soto.
Or is it? No, it's not her uncle. It's her grandfather.
Yeah, her grandfather. Sorry.
Because Robert Forster's her uncle.
Right.
But she doesn't know that.
He's just her adopted uncle until she finds out through cool flashbacks, by the way, that Robert Forster is actually the brother of her grandfather, and he changed his name to get a job as a guard there and watch over his brother, I guess.
Yeah, that's very, very cool. I can't wait to see the backstory of why his brother was there and what made him turn into whatever he is.
And we already know they're taking a lot of his blood, you know. And another thing, when he first sees his brother – he hits him over the head with a tray, like all pissed off. Like, what are you doing here? You know, you don't know what you've done. And then, you know, he holds his hand later on. That was a mean-looking gash in his forehead, by the
way. Oh, man, yeah.
I was like, dude, that was a clean, like, thing.
And the doc's like, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to give you a local.
And then the creepy warden, or is it the other guy? The warden guy, but then who's the dickheaded assistant guy? What's
E.B. Tiller. Yeah, he's the very creepy assistant warden.
Yeah, he's like, if he knows him, then he could be here to bust him out. You got to make sure, whatever. So he's like, hey, you know, you can't let someone get you like that. The other inmates will be on top of you in no time. You know, they'll know they can take advantage of you. So you've got to get some comeuppance. So he proceeds to beat the shit out of his brother.
Seriously, like, like, whoa, calm down.
Right.
Like, there's got to be, there's some anger there.
So, so Soto God, what is her name, Bill? Help me. God dang it.
I'm going to look it up and I'm going to remember it.
And, Emma, I told Emma she could be on the news later, so she was coming in here to check on me. That's why I paused for a second.
Rebecca Madsen.
Rebecca
is her name.
So Rebecca and Soto, they've pretty much figured out that Ray, who's missing, is her real uncle, I guess, and they're after him. So let's go ahead and check this out. Oh, and there's a... I thought it was a cool scene where Ray asks him, he goes, where have you been, Hoyt? What happened to you? And he keeps calling him Hoyt. And then he tells him. So this is interesting.
What?
Why are you in Daly City?
How do you know where I am?
Why are you in Daly City?
He's tracking us.
I'm headed to 139 Hayworth Street, but apparently you'll know that when I get there.
I'm on my way.
What are you going to do if he's there?
I just hope he's okay.
No, not Ray, Tommy.
He killed my partner, Doc.
What happened to you, guy? Where have you been?
Where have I been? I haven't been anywhere. I took my little one down to the dock and kissed her goodbye. That night, I was on the North Tower.
He's doing long Jack Palance pauses.
And the fog took all the stars away. In the morning, I was in the infirmary. And they told us that there had been an accident. Our families were dead. Most of us guards were in there. And they told us that we were sick. Contaminated. And that we couldn't leave. And then... it wasn't 1963 anymore.
Spit it out.
I'm not the first Madsen you've asked to be on this task force, am I?
Yes, Mike.
That's
Madsen,
why Ray's not freaking out about Guy Hastings showing up, because he already knew what was going on. And you figured he'd know how to find Tommy.
I offered Ray Archer a job 16 years ago. He turned me down. Something about raising a precocious little girl.
Got what you wanted anyway. Someone with ties to Tommy Madsen.
Oh, is that what I wanted? Where is this going?
Now I know. My grandfather is more important to you than I ever imagined, which means you need me more than I need you.
So we also learned that, like, the guards were told that, you know, he said our families were killed, but they told the families that they were killed.
Yeah.
So that's pretty effed up that everyone thinks each other's dead. And then it was kind of sad at the end. He gets to see his daughter, who's an adult, but he can't ever meet her. And he sees that he has grandchildren and great grandchildren.
I wanted to see if they were going to take him to that prison, like, to be a guard or something.
Yeah, what are they going to do with him? They can't lock him up. He's not. All he did was assault that one ranger guy, right?
Well, yeah. Well, they shouldn't lock him up. But what are they going to do with him that I don't know. Maybe they put him in like a witness protection or something.
He could live anywhere else, just not San Francisco, where he's going to run into family, right?
Well, I guess the daughter would recognize him because she has the picture. It's just strange.
Yeah, I wonder what the hell is going on with this mystery. So I'm definitely curious about that. But did you notice when he got shot in the leg, again, we saw a huge glob of blood? And it was like, holy crap. That was pretty hardcore, man.
Huge squids. Squibs. Jeez. It's getting late. I'm getting dumb.
One thing about Ray Archer, if I had the last name Archer, wouldn't you at least try to become an expert with a bow and arrow?
Absolutely.
I would try. Go, dude.
There's no excuse.
It's my namesake. I must attempt this.
Archer. Ray Archer.
And he's like, zing. He's like, yeah. Shoots an arrow. God, that would be so bitching, man.
That guy's awesome.
I love that. Huh?
When I said I wanted a spoon earlier, this isn't really what I had in mind.
Okay, Bill, let's talk about Justified for a second.
All right.
And the reason I want to talk about Justified is that it has two of my favorite characters, Dickie and Dewey.
Dickie and Dewey, yes.
Two very not so, oh man.
Sharp?
The actors who play them perfectly. And it's funny how they found each other in prison and now they're best friends, isn't it?
Yeah, just, well, I guess maybe, you know, similar minds attract one another.
They're just not too intelligent.
Yeah.
But they kind of set it up in previous episodes where the guard needs Dickie to find Michael T. Williamson and get like $3 million in cash. So he's going to bust him out of prison there.
And that guard always plays creepy characters.
Yeah, he played the multiple man on Heroes. Do you remember that?
And he played, I don't think you watched it, but there was a show on FX called The Riches with Eddie Izzard.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He played one of the the creepy brother to Eddie Izzard's wife on that one.
So he's good at playing sleazebags.
Yeah, he's very sleazy.
So what's funny is I guess they've arranged this prison fight, but Dewey has no idea. So he jumps in to help his friend, and he gets the crap beaten out of him too. So in the scene, they're trying to figure out what they're going to do with Dewey, and it's kind of funny. Let's check this out.
Damn. Would you just take it?
Would you just hold still?
Damn.
What the hell are we supposed to do now?
Mm. What do you mean, what are we supposed to do now?
The plan never accounted for this damn shit to be in the mix.
What? Dickie, you there?
Hey, brother Dewey. Yeah, man. Hey, have no fear. I'm right here.
I'm in shock. I feel cold.
Well, you never just jumped in on a fight, man. Had him right where I wanted him.
What kind of man am I if I don't stand by my friends?
The fight was supposed to put him in here, not you. You are now a liability.
Damn, man. Can I at least get like a Tylenol or something?
Yeah, can you get him?
I say we throw him back to Gen Pop.
I say he's hurt too much for that to be a viable option.
You really think this one's going to put two and two together? Hey, moron, how much did you hear?
About y'all breaking out? Nothing.
Did you hear this?
No.
Nice.
I ain't nothing to worry about. Come on. Let me take a look at him.
No, I can't go back in. Not now.
Wait a second. I got an idea.
Ash, would you start loading us up? I'm going to handle this one.
Hey, ain't no reason to handle me. I don't know anything. If you want, I could work up like a cover story. And you all can play along, and what you think?
Yeah, what's that right there?
Hey! What the hell did you just do, man?
He's sticking a needle in his throat.
What'd you do? Do it! What'd you do?
I love that he's fighting back like a wild animal.
Yeah. There we go. Time to go to sleep.
Yes, come on.
What the hell are you going to do that? He said he didn't know nothing.
So are you ready to do things my way, or would you like option B?
And it's so funny, you know, they sneak him out with a dead body, so he's in a body bag, and he just dumps him on the ground in the body bag, and he's all rolling around, hey, what's going on? He's like freaking out, and he's like, are you going to, like, help him, or just let him?
And he has to actually wake up Dickie Bennett. He's just kind of laying in that body bag, like, oh.
What I love about the show is how the guys, the criminals are very dangerous, and they'll kill anyone, but also they're really dumb also.
Yeah, they're like they're like rabid animals. Like you don't know their first instinct is to attack.
Yeah,
they have no ability to rationalize the situation.
And what's funny is whatever this side of town is with Michael T. Williamson, they can't get in there because the feds have already shown up, the U.S. Marshals, and he needs his money because they're going to take all of Dickie's money, right?
Yeah.
So they're trying to figure out how to get it, and they're holed up in a hotel, and it's so funny that Dewey's like, I'm so hungry. Could I have some food? And they're like, shut up. And the other guy's like, dude, I'm pretty hungry too, man. I could use some chicken. He's like, yeah, man, get some fried chicken. And he's like, all right. So they send him out on a chicken run. And don't you love when Raylan's sitting in his car talking on the phone, like, do you know what kind of vehicle they'd be in? You know? And then all of a sudden he sees the guy carrying this big old thing of chicken walking up. And I
like the look in his eye is so ornery. Like, he's not even going to bother with the gun.
Yeah.
He's just going to, I'm going to run his ass over.
I know. I love the guy, the villain, you know, he's looking at him and he's like, oh man, are you kidding me? The guy's right there and I got all this chicken in my hand.
I have all this chicken.
And he's got this, he has this clumsy reach for the gun and Raylan just runs him over. And then, you know, he's getting back up. He can barely stand on his leg and he's pulling the gun again.
Yeah, just stay down.
And then he backs over him. And he's like, you ran me over. And he's, well, technically I hit you with my car and run you over. And he's like, oh, you think you broke my leg? It's just so funny, the whole situation. What about the character of Devil?
The demise of Devil had me, like, cringing horribly.
Because that,
there's a moment where when he knows it's the end, he does this cry.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like, oh, man. It, like, sent shivers down my spine.
I was like, poor, dumb Devil.
Yeah, and it's just the way it is. Did he honestly think, I mean, come on.
All those people
He has seen Boyd Crowder get the drop on how many people?
Well, not only that, all those people, it's family and nothing else.
Yeah.
And he goes to his cousin to help kill him.
Just so dumb.
Boneheaded move.
And you have to think that guy that I don't know his name, the Kentucky guy,
right,
knew that's what would happen. Like, he's, like, thinning the herd.
A Neil McDonough. Buck from a Band of Brothers.
Yes.
He either knew Devil would get killed or maybe get shot off. And I'm wondering why he didn't just go and do business with Boyd in the first place.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe because he wants that entire area, so he's just going to pick them off one by one.
Yeah, but the whole time I was like, Devil's time is very short now.
Yep.
Just his name of Devil was hilarious, and he acted so cocky and sure of himself, but he was so dim-witted, you know.
Yeah, and Raylan's dad is no better.
Right.
I don't know how he has survived as long as he has.
I know.
He honestly should be dead.
But how funny is it that when the Michael T. Williamson character delivers the money, he's like, "What is this? Like, how much money is this?" And he goes,
"It's filled with IOUs."
He's like, $46,000. He goes, "It's supposed to be $3 million." It's like, "No, your mom. She spent a lot of money. She needed money for this and that." And just this realization sets in that it's hardly any money.
Yeah, there's nothing left.
And he's like, well, guess what? You take the money back.
So, yeah, I love that reaction.
And he goes,
and I expect it all.
Yeah.
I'm coming for it.
Yeah, what? I don't understand. Like, is his plan just to go back to prison, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah, he's going to be there longer now.
Because now he's made it look like he's killed two guys.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's such a fun show. I really like it.
I always enjoy to see where it's going and the little subplots that they'll establish and kind of dance around.
Yeah, and build more and more later on.
Yeah, it's a very, very fun show.
It is. It's cool.
You can tell, though, that this season, there's already been quite a body count.
Yeah,
so
totally.
Far.
That's why I'm wondering, like, Dewey Crow still hasn't been found. I'm wondering how much jeopardy he's in. And it's so funny, they set up these boneheaded characters that keep coming back, you know, for different storylines. And I think that's funny. These colorful characters.
Yeah, they're survivors. sort of.
You fucking wanker.
Hey, they need to get Robert Zadar on this show. Don't you
think? Yeah, I think that might be scary. Maybe they should get him on the river.
I wonder
he'd
what he
better there.
What would he say to Raylan?
Real badass cops.
Oh, okay.
That is the wrongest voice for that man.
I know. He's the maniac cop. So why is he talking like that? Okay, Bill, what did you think on Fringe, the cool, like, alternate Astrid story?
I loved that. I ate that up.
That was really cool.
But I also thought it was very strange that Astrid lied to her. Like, saying that her father is also very, very distant. And
right.
Maybe she just felt so bad that Astrid's dad wasn't that way to her.
That was she tells her that my dad, he didn't always show love. He was really hard, but I know that he loved me, and I know yours loved you, and kind of make her feel better. Then she goes home, and her dad's like, Astrid, hey, I got dinner. And he's like this really loving, you better come here and give me a hug and stuff. And it's like he's completely the opposite of what she said, but she didn't have
the
heart
to tell her. I was thrown by that.
Maybe she felt guilty that her dad was nothing like that, and apparently the alternate Astrid, she didn't feel loved, and it's kind of sad.
I felt bad for her because she's so wide-eyed, and she's like a puppy. Like, she wants to please.
I loved when Astrid first sees her, she kind of squeals like, like that.
Yeah.
And the lady's like, why don't more people do that when they see their daughter? You know? And there was
I enjoyed it so much. I really, really, really enjoyed the storyline this week. And even if it was mostly standalone.
Right, because the whole thing is dealing with this guy who knows your future, and he puts you out of your misery, right? And it's because he has something of the Observers. September, the Observer. And
that was the one that saved the girl, right?
Right. No, huh?
Wasn't it? Or is that the...
No, remember, he kills himself at the end.
Okay.
No, you're thinking of last week where the girl can predict deaths. This guy can predict deaths, and then he kills you.
I was trying to figure out which Observer was September.
Oh, yeah. I think it's our main Observer that we always see.
Okay.
I think. I think it was trippy how that one Observer stepped out of solid matter, you know, in the window. He just passes through the wall.
Yeah.
That was interesting. Those other Observers are creepy looking. You know,
they're very... When I see them, they kind of remind me of the guys from Dark City.
Yeah. Like, I'm used to the Observer we see all the time, and then when I see another one, I'm like, ew, he's kind of creepy looking.
Yeah, they have, like, really skinny heads or squat heads. They find very, very strange people to play them.
And I really liked Walter's kind of his repartee with Folivia.
Yes.
I thought that was funny. So let's check this out.
It was mints.
Isn't this a party? Hey, girls.
Marta Hari. Deceived and betrayed anyone yet today? It is almost lunchtime, after all.
Deus ex machina.
A hand of God.
The interaction of the chemicals and the poison is not predictable. The creation of the toxin requires the assumption that these compounds can intermingle. And in fact, these compounds do not intermingle, except when they are all mixed together, they do, which is a completely unpredictable event.
Okay, just so I'm clear, you're saying that a person would have to see that the chemicals had already been combined in order to know how to combine them?
Yes, and the chances of that occurring randomly are less than 0.1%. Therefore, there is a root of the equation that is outside our realm of causality. Deus ex machina, the hand of God.
But Astrid, are you trying to tell us that God taught our perp how to mix a mythical poison?
God, or God-like powers. It's the only thing that makes sense. I think I love her.
Okay, well, I guess that we're not going to go straight home. Cold Chinese in the fridge?
Yeah, I'll check. Now that you're back, I can finally rid myself of this junk left behind in your haste to slink away.
Walter, you've been holding on to this stuff all this time?
I didn't steal anything, if that's what you're implying. Although I admit that this one item confounded me. Just another of your tools of spycraft, I imagine. A sinister communication device. Some kind of devious encoder.
Wow. I really got to you, didn't I, Walter? Did you ever consider that perhaps it's because you enjoyed having me around? Admit it. You like me, Walter.
Hey, Walter. Here, I want to show you something. My ingenious piece of spy tech.
Mints?
Similar. They're bobbins, and they're delicious.
It's almost like wintergreen. Only smokier. One for the road.
You're giving me a send-off?
You may possess positive qualities that I previously overlooked.
Are you flirting with me?
In your dreams.
I love it. Just that interaction between characters. That's all I need on the show, you know?
Yeah, and even though, you know, it's like the same character, but not, it just, the way they keep them straight is amazing.
I know, the fact that there's regular Olivia, and then she comes in, and she's like, hey, girls, and then there's two Astrids in the room, too, and we buy it all.
Yeah,
you know?
And they're all a different person. It's fantastic.
And it just, some Astrid already, she's such a sweet character. When she sees her double, you know, she goes up and embraces her like, hi, you know,
yeah.
Like,
I heard about you.
It's just so kind of cool. And what is wrong with that Astrid, by the way? I just assume she has like an Asperger's type of.
I think so. Yeah. She's very wide eyed and
she's extremely intelligent, but she's not social or something.
Exactly. She lacks the social graces.
Yeah. So that's really cool how they trick that up.
All I know is I want one. Because it's cute.
Oh, you want an Astrid? And that's
yeah,
so cool.
Yeah, I want an Astrid.
How they're both useful in a different way, you know?
Yeah.
She's like, you speak through her. You talk and she hears you. And he's like, yes.
It's just sweet. It's like a teddy bear. It's just...
Yeah.
Like it's like Teddy from AI.
Or the Teddy...
It's an Astrid.
It's like the Teddy in the river. No! All right, Bill, did you watch Spartacus Vengeance, the second episode?
I did. I was able to.
I want
to
thank you for sending me that paid-for copy, Bill.
Not a problem.
Because I don't have Stars, and Netflix doesn't, so I'm kind of screwed. And I need to call and demand it from DirecTV, you know, because my DirecTV messed up. It's so hard for me to do things like that. I know.
You can't be mean or you can't. Yeah, I have a very hard time doing that.
I wish I could, like, have my alternate Universe Jason call them.
He's an asshole. I've met him. I don't
like
him at all.
Listen to me.
Blimey immigrant jerk off.
Yeah, I don't know why immigrant, but okay. Now,
their call centers in India.
One thing, you know, I love Spartacus. It's such a fun show, and there's violence and nudity. There's a scene.
I did not have fun with this episode.
Well, here's what I'm kind of getting at is that there's a scene with Glaber, and who is this punk ass guy that he needs his men from?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, one thing I realized as I'm trying to make a clip for the show is without Batiatis. There's
nothing there.
I'm trying to find clips, Bill, but I need me some body. I almost want them to make a body artist, a ghost who comments on what's going on.
It's lacking a certain amount of charisma.
We need.
It's still entertaining and it's still very well done. It's just not the show we're used to.
And I'm waiting for Liam McIntyre to win me over. I have nothing against the guy.
I'm still waiting. He honestly needs to lighten up.
He's got huge sandals to fill, Bill.
Yeah, there was a very great kind of emotion and heaviness, but also a lightheartedness and an understanding.
Do you remember the first season? Over time, you know, at first, you know, Andy Whitfield play him as a very kind of stoic guy, but you saw him lighten up around Varro.
Yes.
As they got to know each other and they tease each other and stuff.
That's what this is missing. This guy is just too stoic. I am Spartacus.
Well, I can understand why, because there's some serious shit going on right now. But there's some funny scenes that always happen in Spartacus that crack me up, like... when they're first going to this, they're going to different houses where people, slave owners are. They're killing the slave owners and then telling the slaves, hey, you can join us. And there's the mean slave owner. He's having sex with one of his slaves, and he's like, tells a guy, okay, place cock in ass.
Yeah, it was like, wait a second.
Whoa, time out, huh?
I'm getting ready to finish. Put cock in ass.
It's like, whoa, I don't want
it. I guess he likes, you know, it's a train.
Yeah, he just wants it.
Come on, run it, train. And run it.
What he wants, Bill, is to make it quick and easy.
Yes. Quick and easy is how you make a cake, or clean a toilet bowl, or shop by mail.
What's cock and ass?
Well, I've had enough of this.
Me too.
Yes, but, and the slave girl's quite attractive.
Yeah, this blonde of like, yeah. What?
She's like a bombshell. Where did she come from?
Now, do you remember in the Gods of the Arena, Gannicus, mm-hmm. he sang this song. Do you remember the song? It was like
Cock Rages On.
The Cock Rages On song.
And about chickens.
Yeah, it was like
blood rains down from an angry sky. My cock rages on. My cock rages on.
Like, what is he talking about? His chicken raging on. I don't know.
It's very angry rooster.
But we get to hear more of that song in this episode.
It's the extended edition.
I was like, hey, I love this song. But first, there's
the number one on iTunes.
There's a scene here with Glober or whatever.
It doesn't matter.
I like to call him Glober. And he's talking with this punk-ass kid with men, and he kind of gives him attitude.
Now, is that the kid that has the sister?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I just had to place him.
And she's kind of a shit also.
Yeah, she is a shit.
So let's.
She's like a young Alithia, basically.
Right. And I love that. There was a scene with Alithia where she was in the taking a bath where she was remembering having sex with Spartacus.
Oh, yes.
Which I'm hoping the footage they show is not Andy Whitfield. They got the new actor to do that because it's just too sad if I'm like, is that Andy Whitfield?
Well, it was mask covered, so yeah, I think it probably was Andy Whitfield.
But yeah, it makes me sad, you know? He's sitting there.
Well, it takes me out of the show, honestly.
It takes me out of it. That's exactly what I wanted to say. Hey, that's not funny, Robert Zadar.
He thinks everything's funny.
You fucking wanker!
Okay. Well, Bill, let me play this scene real quick.
Okay.
Because I do love the dialogue from Spartacus.
And there was a shitload of Animaeus stuff. We really kind of learned a lot about his history.
Yes, and I liked that. But
I loved it. I thought the Bodianus' father stuff was fan-friggin-tastic.
It was. He taught him how to be a man, and you learn why he's so ashamed of himself now.
Yeah, and you kind of realize that Bodianus' dad was kind of a cool guy. You know, he knew how to operate. He was a cool operator.
Bodianus, he took shortcuts. He always
Yes, exactly.
And it didn't help that his enabler was Lucretia either.
Yeah, Lucretia is, and she's even more creepy this season.
And you know, do you remember in Gods of the Arena where he basically tells Bodianus why he needs to dump Lucretia? Everything he's saying is pretty much correct, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It is 100% correct.
You know, she's manipulative and she doesn't have your best interest. And I don't know if she did, but she's definitely manipulative.
I don't know if she has anyone's best interest in mind because she's just so all over the place. She's mentally ill. Well, she is now. But
I'm wondering if she's faking it. And if she is faking it, why is she?
If she's faking it, she's doing a damn good job.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why Glober is so thinks that she can do anything
for
him.
Yeah, he's like, go ahead and let us sacrifice a goat. And what was with that? She cuts a goat's throat? I was like, that's disturbing.
I hope they didn't waste it. I hope they ate it.
Yeah, I hope so.
The poor goat died for nothing.
All right, let's check this out.
The man proved resourceful, as he did when he set upon you in the market square. It is a pity my men were not present to end the matter.
Spartacus stands a common foe, as I said.
My tribune cleaves to the heart of it. Spartacus is enemy to us both.
Daily paper,
shed an offense and blood. So let us sweep aside differences and in union see him forced to knee.
I would need to consult Verinius towards such agreement.
Are they your men or his?
And who would lead combined effort?
You, Sir Holder.
Station of note. Second only to my command. And promise that you shall be present when Spartacus is put to grass.
A man takes habit of slipping through your fingers. What moves you to certainty of victory?
Because the gods themselves will it.
They speak with you now, do they?
Through voice, a former domina of this very house.
Lucretia.
They have blessed her. As they blessed her the night they guided her from death in the massacre.
Yet she is not alone in such fortune. Did the gods not
guide your wife to safety as well?
What are you getting?
Ilithia took leave before unfortunate.
This guy's got it all figured out. Gee, that is.
And with her, a clutch of your men. Soldiers that might have tipped the balance towards halting Spartacus short of fucking slaughter.
You will tend your words with more care in my presence, boy.
Come, let us take
my words are carefully chosen
Stephen that all the
for
time.
A man holding title as favor to his wife's father.
Speak to me in such manner again, and I will have your tongue. Yet not my men.
Great. Wow, there's a lot of pissing and shitting and holding down and raging and sounds that almost sounds like muscle and hate.
The one bright spot is the remember the guy who's Spartacus's right-hand guy whose brother died?
Yes.
He's becoming more amusing. So they're kind of getting a little bit of that, kind of personality in there.
Yeah, it's just going to take a while. It feels like, you can feel the absence of Andy Whitfield.
And that's what I'm saying. It's going to take a while for it to happen.
But Liam McIntyre really needs to kind of lighten up a little bit.
I think
just a little bit.
He's doing an admirable job. It's hard shoes to fill, you know, and it's heavy material that they give him to do. They're making Spartacus, you know, serious all the time.
But also, it might be the actors also, because in a way, Crixus, whenever he approaches Spartacus, they feel like strangers.
Right,
they don't feel like they've gone through this big thing together, and that
exactly because
they just—they just doesn't feel right. It feels very odd, very strange.
There was a good scene with him with his girlfriend, where she's saying she's basically trying to fill him out, like, "How do you feel about me?" And that was I thought that was a good scene. He kind of lightened up a little until a guy tried to kill him and ruin the scene. You know, it's like, oh, we're seeing some personality from the guy, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to be patient.
I'm not saying he's bad. I'm not going to give up because I still enjoy the show. It's just different.
Andy Whitfield, and it's hard to get. It's hard to replace him. That's all.
It really is. I mean, I feel. I hate even talking about it because I get sad.
I do too.
So. You will tend your words with more care in my presence.
Oh, absolutely. Sorry. So, Bill, you want to do some news?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to play the music and send word for Emma.
Okay.
All right, let's do some news! Woo-hoo-hoo!
Emma! Emma! Emma!
And just if there's anything, you know, you can bleep yourself. Self-editing, Bill.
Yes.
Turn it around the other way. All right, Emma, give me the thumbs up. Say hello.
Hi.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
It's Emma, everybody. Yay. Hey, what are you laughing at?
Hey.
All right, Bill, let's do some... Whoa, was that me or you, Emma?
I was just excited.
Oh, okay. All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
All right, well, there's an what? An escaped prisoner on the loose in Holy Philadelphia. Crap. But it's a very strange At first, I thought this was a joke, but Philadelphia police are searching for a prisoner who escaped custody Thursday night. He was handcuffed at the time. He got away outside the hospital in the 800 block of Spruce Street. He was being taken there for an evaluation. The suspects say he's a man about 6'3", with a sparse beard and a mustache, and he has a tattoo, including an H between his eyebrows. So I was wondering if he had escaped from the Red Dwarf.
He's a hologram.
Yeah. Maybe he is Arnold J. Rimmer.
Oh, my goodness. Uh-huh. And he had a beard, you say?
Yes. Maybe he, you know, let himself go.
A great big bushy beard.
Maybe he's a Red Dwarf fan.
Why did you do that?
Maybe he is. I love
Maybe
Red
he
Dwarf.
Watches PBS in prison and he just thinks it's hilarious, like most people do.
I think it's hilarious.
Have you shown her Red Dwarf?
No, I haven't.
No smegging flapjacks.
Yeah, we don't have any smegging flapjacks, Bill.
Yeah, oh, and that was the other thing they put on the story. It says he answers to Smeghead.
Only joking.
All right. This is kind of sad. It's end of an era. Kodak has discontinued its camera business.
So what is it?
It's a white hole.
Well, that does bum me out. Kodak, it's just been this brand our entire lives.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up with Kodak cameras. We had an 8mm Kodak camera. You had the Kodak disc camera. Then there was that Kodak camera that was the skinny one with the – it almost looked like a reel-to-reel cartridge of film that went in the back of it. You know, I mean, it was just – I've always – it was always Kodak. It always – you know.
I know. We have a Kodak camera and a Kodak printer even.
Yeah. It's just really sad that it's going to phase out even its digital cameras.
That is crazy. But
yeah,
I guess,
by the end of June, Kodak expects –
Honestly, I've been waiting for this because everyone's got – phones, I mean, everyone has cameras on their phones.
Yeah. It's, or, you know, now you either have a camera on your phone or you have like a DSLR camera.
Right.
You know, that's just kind of the way it is now. Or a point and shoot.
Everyone wants it quick and easy, Bill.
Yes, they do.
Quick and easy is how you make a cake or clean a toilet bowl or shop by mail.
Exactly.
I love how dated that is. Shot by mail.
Oh, God.
By the end of June, Kodak expects to phase out its digital cameras, pocket video cameras, and digital picture frames. And, you know, I have one of their pocket video cameras, and I bought it because it was considered to be the best one, which is really strange. I guess they want to focus heavily on brand licensing and attracting companies that might need some of its patents.
Wow.
Wow, that is so strange.
What the hell are we supposed to do now?
It's a complete shift in business. All right, now this is a strange story. This always seems to happen when someone gets greedy. Robert Kirkman, the comic book writer who helped create the AMC zombie series The Walking Dead based on a comic book,
right,
is being sued by his childhood friend and collaborator, Tony Moore, who was the first artist on The Walking Dead.
Right, right.
Yeah, he was the one that really kind of brought the character to it with the very would you describe the art?
It's
visceral.
I really liked his artwork. When he left the book and it was that Charlie Adler – That guy got better, but at first it was so dramatic. I was like, ugh, what is this art now? What did they do?
Well, you know what? When Charlie Adler came on, the characters started looking more cartoony. Like their faces rounder.
I'm going to say it's a looser style, more like less illustrative and more kind of, I don't know, more messy.
Yeah, like less I hate to say less artistic.
Just completely different style that's jarring.
Yeah, it is. Michael Anthony, Tony Moore, our fellow comic book artist, filed suit Thursday In the complaint, a copy of which obtained by the Hollywood Reporter, THR, Moore says he was duped into assigning his interest in the material over to Kirkman, who has since gone on to fame and fortune.
Right, yeah.
So Kirkman, you know, knew that there was some interest, and he was like, hey, man, can you just sign this over to me? I mean, it's very – normally people are 50-50, especially whenever – you know, people always talk about the comic creator, but – it's really the artist that creates the world.
Right.
I mean, they write a story and give it to the artist, and the artist develops the world. So I think that Tony Moore should have at least 50% of whatever, because he was there from the beginning.
Something, but he signed it all over to the guy?
Apparently.
Oh.
We're going to get FUBAR now.
Yeah, Moore, on the other hand, has received very little compensation, has not been able to see access profit statements from properties, including The Walking Dead. So they're keeping any stuff that he would get paid for, they're keeping that information private.
That's not cool.
No.
I will have your tongue.
Each of these works prepared by Moore and Kirkman with the intention of their contributions be merged into inseparable or independent parts of a unitary whole. Wow, that's some serious legal jargon.
Oh.
Wow.
Holy crap.
But yeah, it just, it seems very, very fishy. How much is Kirkman getting paid by AMC? How much is he now getting paid for the comic and the trades, and just very strange.
So I'm wondering if, like, Charlie Adler, if he has any ownership, or if he's just the artist and doesn't really get any money from the TV.
Yeah, I would like to see some of that. I would. There's no mention of Adler in the story.
Because everything you see on the TV show, like the way Rick looks and everything, you know, the outfit or whatever, I mean, it all comes down to that Tony Moore's first interpretation of it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Wow.
Damn, man, can I at least get, like, a Tylenol or something?
I know. It's giving me a headache, Bill. It's sad. I knew that Kirkman was no good.
Yeah,
I always knew it.
Now, here, I love Den of Geek. They've digged up a story, and this was just, it was going to happen. We mentioned it earlier, the whole George Lucas saying that Han was never supposed to shoot first. They didn't have the camera angles. His quote was, it had been done in all close-ups, and it was confusing about who did what to whom.
He
put a little wider shot in there to make it clear that Greedo's the one that shot first. But everyone wanted to think that Han shot first because they wanted to think that he actually just gunned him down.
What? Yeah, not true.
Yeah, now here, Den of Geek digged up a scrappy-looking original copy of the novelization written by George Lucas.
Aha!
And it says, light and noise filled the little corner of the cantina, and when it faded, all that remained was the unctuous alien and his smoking, slimy spot on the floor. Solo brought his hand and the smoking weapon it held out from beneath the table, drawing bemused stares from several of the cantina's patrons and chuckling sounds from its more knowledgeable ones. They'd known the creature had committed its fatal mistake in allowing Solo the chance to get his hands undercover.
That's right, because he outdrew him.
Yep.
Yeah.
It happens all the time in Westerns where the guy doesn't get a shot off because the good guy is quicker. It doesn't mean he's a cold-blooded murderer.
No, he knows that it's either kill or be killed.
Right.
And so I don't know why he keeps doing this.
I just think he tinkers.
Why? I just don't understand why he has to keep, like, saying, oh, well, he's really a good guy.
I think, like, he doesn't realize, I mean, Star Wars is his, but he doesn't realize it's also ours.
Yeah.
It's ours.
The moment it goes into the public, everyone that loves it, it's theirs.
It's ours.
Ours. Oh my God.
That is awesome.
So, you know, it's just another one of those things that, and I'm throwing my hands up. I'm done. That's it. But I just don't know why he can't admit. Why does he have to make... It's like he has to... he has to fix everything to how he wants it now.
You will tend your words with more care in my presence.
I'm sorry. I'm just frustrated. I get upset.
Me too.
You know, I still care, but I can't anymore.
Emma,
can I
ask you some questions about Star Wars?
Sure.
Which one's your favorite Star Wars movie?
The first.
The first one? Which one is the first one?
Oh my gosh.
No.
Is it the one where with Luke?
No.
Where he's on Tatooine?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Are you talking about The Phantom Menace?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's great. Why is that one your favorite?
Because I like seeing Anakin train for the first time.
Oh, when he's a little boy? When he drives in the pod race and stuff?
Yeah, I like that.
But do you like later on where he's like a bigger kid in the second one? Do you wish you would have stayed a little kid? Or is that okay?
That's okay. But I just wish the last one, I did not like the last one.
Really? Revenge of the Sith? Why didn't you like that one?
Luke becomes bad.
Luke does, or Anakin becomes bad?
Anakin.
Wait, yeah. Anakin becomes bad. You don't like that?
I don't like
that. And you don't like what happened to Padme? I remember you cried in that part.
Yeah. I'm just glad Luke and Leia found homes.
Yeah, they found homes. And they're, you like that Luke and Leia, they didn't turn to the dark side.
Yeah, but I just can't believe that. What's Anakin's wife's name again?
What's Anakin's name?
What? Anakin's wife.
Oh, Padme.
Padme. Just can't believe Padme when she got her birth and then she died.
Yeah, it's not explained. She just dies because she's sad, I guess. But that doesn't make any sense, does it?
Yeah.
It really doesn't.
Anakin's a little scared because he dreams of his wife in danger.
Yeah, you're right. You know what I say to all of that? Emma, how do you feel about Jar Jar?
He's funny. I like this part when he says this. Excuse me.
Ah, good times.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
You mean this, Emma?
Excuse me.
Yeah. You know what?
Be a child again.
Do you love Empire Strikes Back? Remember the one where Han gets frozen in carbonite?
Yeah, I like that one.
That one's really cool, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And Boba Fett? Boba Fett? What do you think of the Ewoks, the little teddy bear guys?
They're really cute.
They're really awesome, aren't they?
Yeah, but they're also kind of like warriors.
Yeah, they're badass warriors.
They made Leia their princess.
Watch your language.
They made Leia their princess and R2-D2, C-3PO, I meant, their king.
They made him, he was like a god or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I do love that sound that
they
made.
Like, bow to the C-3PO.
So that's Emma's perspective of that. Do you like that?
Yeah.
Now we know where George Lucas is coming from.
Yep, George Lucas. He's captured my daughter. Give her back, please.
Yes, please.
No, that's George Lucas right there.
It's his evil laugh. I win again.
Oh, George! All right, Bill, what else do we have in the news?
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of other things going on.
We've given Lucas too much airtime tonight.
We really have. I feel bad for that.
So what do you guys say we do some DVDs?
All right.
Now, Steven is not here to do the DVDs because he's doing a sleep study. Isn't that interesting? Do you know what a sleep study is, Emma?
You just test, and they have little things on you, I think.
Yeah, they have things on you, and they watch how you sleep to make sure you're okay. And let's go ahead and check on Steven real quick to see how he's doing. He's doing pretty good. He's out. And I can attest to this. Steven does sound like that when he sleeps, doesn't he?
Yeah, he also snores in a movie.
Emma, can you tell Bill the time we saw Up? Pixar's Up in the theater with Steven. How quick did Steven fall asleep in the theater? How was it right at the beginning of the movie?
I think close to the middle.
Remember that touching opening montage, Bill, where makes you cry, where they grow old, and then the thing that happens to the wife? Steven's like... I was like, dude, it's not 5 minutes into the movie. He's asleep.
You should make him sit, like, on the other side of the theater. Just so, like, I don't know this person. Like, if you're going to go to sleep, go somewhere else.
I think he woke up with, like, 20 minutes left. And at the end, he's like, that was pretty good. And it's like, what?
That was pretty good.
You didn't see anything.
That was a good 20 minutes.
Who was that little kid? And who was that bird thing?
What was that dog that talked?
Oh, God.
All right, guys. Let's do some DVDs. Emma, join in.
DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standard definition!
DVDs! Emma, you're supposed to join in! Oh. Well, that's okay. Did you like the song? Did I do good? All right. All right, Bill, what do we have in the DVDs this week?
We're going to get FUBAR now.
Yes, we are. DVDs for February 14th. Is that Valentine's Day?
I will have your tongue.
Yep, the day I dread.
Okay.
Why did you do that?
I have my reasons.
All right, we have starting out with The Adventures of Chuck and Friends. Friends to the Finish.
Adventures of Chuck and Friends.
Ah.
Yes, this is like Thomas the Train, but with trucks.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
Adventures of Chuck and Friends.
Yeah! So it's like Thomas the Tank, but not?
But not.
No.
We've been here for over 3 hours now, and I'm not sure if any of us can see what all this is supposed to mean.
I'm confused.
Me too.
And next we have on Blu-ray a Universal classic, All Quiet on the Western Front from 1930.
Wow. It looks like it's got rubber barf all over it.
Ew.
I don't know if that comes with it. Or if it's an add-on, or if it's part of the special
edition.
It's
on the case? Like, hey, what is this stuff? I don't think I want to buy this.
I thought this was one of the most powerful anti-war films ever made. What is this vomit?
Green. Only smoke here.
Oh. All right, so other than that, we have All Things Fall Apart. And if you remember, there was a movie where 50 Cent got really, really skinny. And I guess he was playing someone with cancer or something. Oh. It was like going to be his breakthrough. Well, it went to straight to video.
Pretty amazing, huh?
Wow. Yep.
Sounds great.
Yeah, well, it's got Mario Van Peebles and Ray Liotta in it.
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
I don't, but I can look into it. Okay. Moving on, we have Beavis and Butthead, Volume 4.
Hey, moron!
All right, Beavis and Butthead. I don't really watch Beavis and Butthead. So.
I am Cornholio.
Oh God!
Well, I was at the
too much television.
I thought it was hilarious. Now not so much, but it's still has its moments.
So what's that show about anyway?
Real badass cops.
I don't think.
Oh,
he doesn't have the right show though. Let's not correct him though.
Are you sure?
He has an enormous jaw. Let's not correct him.
Way too high. Way too high.
Unfortunate.
Okay. Moving on, we have a movie called The Debt.
The Debt?
Yeah, it's about people that are in debt, apparently.
Oh, that sounds sad.
Yeah. Well, it's actually it's the original film. They remade it with what is her name? Helen Mirren.
That's some tea.
It was an Israeli film from a few years back, and they remade it. This is the original.
Okay.
That's coming out. In case you're interested, I know Emma really wants to see it.
Yes, totally. Right, Emma?
I'm not sure.
What do you want from us?
That's not what you told me. All right. Moving on, we have Doctor Who, The Doctor, The Widow, and The Wardrobe. It's the Christmas special from this year. I didn't actually, you know, I'm normally big about watching the Doctor Who Christmas specials on Christmas, but I didn't watch this one this year. I love me some Doctor Who.
Who is she?
Oh, it's Doctor Who.
Doctor Who's a guy. But I guess Doctor could be a man or a woman, right?
Yes, the Doctor could on any regeneration. Yep, you can become a man or a woman.
Have they had a female Doctor Who yet?
They have not, but they also haven't had a non-white Doctor Who. So they're thinking the rumors are the next one will be that Idris Elba.
Oh, that guy's fantastic.
Yeah, there's rumors of him and a number of other ones. But they had that rumor last time before Matt Smith took over.
But you know the thing, Doctor Who, I've honestly never given it a chance, this modern day Doctor Who.
Oh, it's fantastic. And, you know, a lot of times you hear British comedians, there's a whole bit that Eddie Izzard does about hiding behind the sofa when Doctor Who was on because the Daleks, and it just is kind of one of those series that they grew up on. So it's a huge part of British culture.
Is it too British, though, for me to get into?
Not at all. No, not at all.
So it's Arlington, so it's Texas friendly.
It is very Texas friendly. It's world friendly.
I like that.
Because he travels the universe, all kinds of different worlds.
Emma, earmuffs. Cover your ears for a second.
Blimey, immigrant jerk off!
Okay, there you go. You didn't hear that, right?
Okay. All right, next film we have.
King Wanka.
I'm foggy.
What? That's terrible.
My daughter's in the room.
Next film we have is a film from, I believe it's Brazil. Called Elite Squad, The Enemy Within. It's supposed to be a very, very cool action movie.
Elite Squad.
Elite Squad.
That's what they say.
Sounds like the best.
I think they are. They're very elite.
Interesting.
I definitely want to check it out. And the next Blu-ray we have is Human Centipede 2. The first
That's
I believe that's about people who become butterflies.
Ooh. Oh. I want that.
Spontaneous bug eruption.
Yeah.
I don't want to know anything about this movie.
No, I don't either.
I do.
No,
don't, Emma. No.
No, you don't. Next DVD and Blu-ray is a documentary that's got a ton of good word of mouth called The Interrupters.
Ain't it awful?
In fact, I think it was one of Roger Ebert's best films of the year.
The Interrupters. Okay.
Yeah.
What's it about?
It's a documentary taking place in Chicago, and it's these people that decide to fight back against the gangland mentality of the area. And it's about three what they call violence interrupters that they're just trying to protect the communities from the violence that I think is just so prevalent.
I think it was an Asian gang or something.
But it's supposedly a fantastic film.
You mean they did a kind of war?
Say again?
They kind of did a war in that movie?
They're fighting?
Yeah,
there's fighting that's going on in certain neighborhoods of Chicago, and these people have had enough of it, and they're trying to prevent it.
Were they Asian gangs?
No, I don't believe so.
Oh, okay.
They may have been African American. There could be a few Asians, though. You never know.
Yeah, I think that he's all wrong about that. I hope so.
Yeah, the next Blu-ray is the 1972 production of The Lorax.
Lorax?
Yes, the animated Dr. Seuss story.
You know, I gotta say, that new Lorax, it looks pretty beautiful.
It looks amazing.
It really does.
I just can't believe the whole town has no any kind of real plants.
Yeah, no trees or anything.
Yeah, nope. They even have fake bees.
Was that in the original story too, Bill? About the trees?
I think so.
They didn't, like, change it to make it more, like, green?
The girl wanted anything more
than... No, the original story was all about the environment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Why don't you make, like, a tree and get out of here?
Like how the, industries posing a danger to nature and you're cutting down the trees and stuff.
You know, those right. trees kind of yeah. look like any kind of Dr. Seuss book.
There's those weird looking trees.
Yeah, yeah, orange and pink. I've seen those in a kind of book.
Dr.
And they have they kind of look like tails with like cotton balls on top.
Yeah,
right.
Weird.
Yeah.
There's one book like that we the Dr. Seuss book. Everyone's heard of Green Eggs and Ham, but I think we've overread it. Where I'll go, Emma, what book are you reading? Green Eggs and Ham. I'm like, okay.
I would read that. In elementary school, there was a period of time where we would get taken down to the library. And that book and The Boxcar Children are the two I would read over and over again.
Boxcar Children?
Have you never read The Boxcar Children?
No.
There's a whole series of them. And they're really, really old books. And it's about this group of children that live on a boxcar. They're orphan children.
That sounds real sad.
It is kind of sad.
Oh, my God.
It really is kind of sad, but they go on these adventures.
Huh.
I'm so sad.
Yeah, they create a home for themselves in an abandoned boxcar in the forest. they use it as like a playhouse, and they just go on all sorts of adventures.
So
I had so many dreams when I was a kid from reading the books, like that I lived in a abandoned boxcar.
I'm gonna look that up.
And I remember there's, I think the artist, the author, I should say, because I think the first one was written in the early 40s.
Wow.
This Gertrude Warner. And eventually she passed away, and they kept writing them. So I think like 1 through 19 are her, and then from that point on it's just different writers. But yeah, I loved those books as a kid. They're like mysteries for young kids. They're fun. And I remember there was a McDonald's near my house that had a boxcar that you could eat in behind the McDonald's. You could throw parties in it. And I remember that was the coolest thing for me as a kid because I loved the boxcar children. And being able to go into a boxcar.
Get yourself ready for a trip through McDonald's land.
Yeah, it made no sense. I know. All right. Next we have the Rum Diary.
The Rum Diary. Okay.
Yes, with Johnny Depp.
That I think that came and went. Was it any good?
I don't know. I know it was based on a work by Hunter Thompson.
Right.
But I think he played it like Hunter Thompson, but I don't.
It was like
I don't know. I didn't hear much about it.
Yeah. We'll have to find out.
Was that Steven? Did we check in accidentally? All right, next movie I'm going to kind of geek out on, the next Blu-ray, is a Criterion Collection release of the first film by Hideo Gosha, and it's, it's probably one of the most recognized samurai films called Three Outlaw Samurai, and it's an origin story of a Japanese television series that had the same name. But it's about Ronin that become involved in two other samurai's business.
Great samurai killed when they have to.
But it's a great, it's revenge, loyalty, honor, just all that good samurai stuff.
Did you watch this week's Person of Interest?
No, I always save those for the weekend.
Oh, okay, it's cool.
I actually have the last two to catch up on.
There's references to, I think it's cool, subtle references to Ronin and...
Oh, really?
And superheroes, and it's kind of like, you know, like, hey, I think Jim Caviezel could be a Ronin or a superhero type guy, you know?
He's absolutely a Ronin type.
Right.
Kind of a wandering... gun for hire.
Yeah, I think it's cool. The show's gotten better. I like it.
I think that the two characters have enough charisma and like there's a slight distrust.
Yeah, and they're doing more with the character of Finch, which I think is good. The Benjamin Linus guy, Finch.
The Michael last Emerson. One I watched was the him versus, we only see the back of her, the hacker.
Yeah.
And she refers to him as Harold.
Yeah, and that's his, how does she know his name and who is she?
Yeah, and he's just like, I really enjoyed that episode also.
Yeah, it was. It's good.
Because they kind of play the red herring thing, like where you think it might be that Zoe.
Yeah, but then she shows
up. You kind of know it's not.
Yeah. I almost think they had her in the episode to show you that, no, I don't think it is her. You know?
Yeah. But yeah, I'm really enjoying that show. I always save it for the weekend.
They're delicious.
Yes.
All right. And the last Blu-ray and DVD of this week is a film that has gotten pretty good word of mouth. I just don't know if I really care. It's called Tiny Furniture.
Tiny Furniture.
In your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Tiny Furniture.
Yeah, and it's a film by this girl who got her start making YouTube videos. She has this really dry, kind of sardonic humor, almost like a female Woody Allen.
Tiny, and smelly, and dirty.
And she, she's kind of in this arrested state where she doesn't know how to move forward in her life, and she makes tiny furniture.
Where is this going?
But they're saying that, you know, it's just, it's kind of a character piece, and it can be funny and charming, and but I'm gonna rent it at least. I wouldn't blind buy it, but I'm definitely gonna rent it because I do like the early Woody Allen stuff.
Like Take the Money and Run?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Conan.
What? Oh, what?
Fuck ye!
We're going to get FUBAR now.
I'm going to punch him. All right, Bill, thank you for doing the DVDs this week.
You're welcome. I'm sorry there just isn't that much.
It's all right, Emma. Do you want to say anything to Bill?
Great job!
Yay!
Thank you.
Awesome. All right. That's the DVDs this week!
Ooh, Navy SEALs.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see
something.
Sure, we've got Advil. Is that all right? All right.
I don't do well with ibuprofen.
Oh yeah, why?
It makes my stomach hurt.
Ah. All right, everyone. That was episode 253 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Holy jumping, right?
Yeah.
Remember, you could call our brand new voicemail number 1-206-202-1298. Also, go to nowhereinmulberry.com, and you'll find a link to nimforum.com. You can go to that.
Yeah, I think only Swiley goes to it now.
Yes, only Swiley. Anybody else is welcome to post
but
there.
But his feedback is greatly appreciated. Love.
Yes, it is.
We love it.
Love the Swiley. I saw it today, and I was like, ooh.
Ooh, yes, Navy SEALs.
Ooh, Navy SEALs and Swiley feedback. Ooh, I love it. But also, go send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. Yay! Or, you know, if you're on Facebook, you can join the Nora Mulberry Fan Club. Yay! We'll gladly add you. Yes, we will. And it'll
we
be
had
awesome.
One or two new additions this week.
Yeah, that's cool. It's always cool when we see new people and we talk about movies.
Ooh, Navy SEALs.
Yeah, like Navy SEALs.
Mm-hmm. Great film.
Great film. Oh, you know what's funny about that is there's this new movie called, what is it, Something Valor with
actually, yes, with real Navy SEALs.
Yeah, I was like, with real Navy SEALs. And I, the first thing that popped in my head, you know what it was, Bill? You know what it was?
Ooh, Navy SEALs.
Yes. So every time that commercial comes on, it pops in my head, ooh, Navy SEAL. And I'm wondering, it's bound to happen, Bill, where someone's going to say the movie blows, right? How angry are the military people going to get? Because those guys are awesome at their job, but how are they going to be at acting as well?
Yeah,
I do not know
what is going on.
Will you be called a communist for not liking it is what I want to know.
Probably.
I hope not. Because that wouldn't be right.
Shameful.
Yes, it would be shameful. So what I'm saying is everyone go see the movie, give it 10 stars. Right, Bill?
10 stars!
Yes.
It'll be quick and easy, Emma.
Yes, quick and easy.
And you won't make anybody
make
angry.
Cake, or clean a toilet bowl, or shop by mail.
Oh, good times. Emma, thank you so much for doing the show with us. It's 3 shows in a row that you've sat in.
Thank you.
You having fun? It's funny, when she came running in, Bill, she was like trying to run up, and we hadn't talked about Spartacus yet. I was like, no, wait. It's not for kids. So there's certain shows we talk about. It's more grown-up friendly, but you can always do the news, okay?
Yay!
Or DVDs. Yay! And I'm going to have to show you.
And if she wants me, if she ever sees anything in the news that she wants to talk about,
yeah,
bring
Or you want to review a new kids movie, you can do that.
Yep.
You know, like Emma just got the new, what did you, Scooby-Doo Camp Scare DVD.
I like that movie.
Have you seen that, Bill? Like, the animation is like so crisp compared to the Hanna-Barbera. It's kind of like.
It really is. You know what? Hanna-Barbera's was kind of lazy.
It's so unsettling. Like, holy, they're actually like drawing the characters where they have like shading and stuff.
Yeah. But, and you know, it's crazy that I think on those newer Scooby-Doo movies, they actually have Matthew Lillard as Shaggy.
Really?
I also have Scooby-Doo Mysteries Incorporated.
Give me a Scooby snack.
Yeah, that's right. Like, she, last Sunday, I took her to Fry's. I had a gift card for my birthday. And I was like, Emma, you can get whatever you want on here. And she was like, we went hunting for Scooby-Doo DVDs.
Yeah. Nice.
She got Mystery Incorporated, Disc 1, Part 1 of Season 1 or whatever.
Don't you love
volume
how they
one.
Do that?
That's right. Disc
oh,
1.
Oh, and I'm looking at the cast of Camp Scare, and you have Stephen Root as Bert.
Wow.
Mark Hamill.
Jimmy James.
As Deacon Babyface Beretti and the store owner.
Yeah,
so.
Deacon.
Screw the small judo man.
Mysteries Incorporated, it's really weird that, you know, a lot of stuff happens, and there's a kind of person named Mr. E that's a really big mystery.
Yeah, Mr. E, and he's like, no one knows who he is, Bill.
Is it Emily? Is it Irma? Is it Ernie? Is it anybody?
I think you have to watch the whole season.
Yeah.
That's, you know, actually, I was like, I read on one of those comic book sites where they were actually praising the new Scooby-Doo thing. They just,
really?
Yeah, they were talking about, like, there's actually character development in these characters now, that it was crazy.
Oh, like, so this is a show that's still airing presently, the Mystery Incorporated.
Right. I think a season ended, but it'll come back, but. They were praising, you know, geeks were praising it. They're like, they actually have character and stuff. It's really crazy.
I'm reading into it, and it looks cool. There's a lot of cool writers on it, and yeah, a bunch of cool actors.
Emma was watching, and I was like, man, this animation's really crisp looking.
Yeah.
I was when I first saw that Cartoon Network was doing new Scooby-Doo's, I was like, what is this? Come on.
And we got we have Frank Welker doing the voice of Scooby-Doo and Fred.
But really, you can only improve on Hanna-Barbera stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Especially the ones they did later with like different celebrities.
Yeah, totally.
Like Scooby-Doo meets the Harlem Globetrotters, or
are you doing that? Are you blowing on the mic, Emma? Are you? What's that sound? Are you blowing on?
I think it's Steven.
That's my Steven impression. Let's check in on Steven and see how he's doing. What do you think? Oh, there he is.
Wake up, Steven!
Wake up! Say, wake up, Steven.
Wake up!
Say, the show's over. Wake up. He's not listening. He's out. I hope he finds out something.
That sounds like an engine.
You know what my favorite Scooby-Doo movie is?
Who? What?
Scooby-Doo meets Jerry Reed.
Jinkies! Emma was teaching me that. You say jinkies.
Hey.
Jinkies.
That's what Velma says?
Uh-huh. On Spinsters Incorporated, Velma and Shaggy are in love with each other.
What?
What?
I don't know why.
Oh, my gosh. See, character development, Bill.
That's a lot of character.
All right, everybody. We won't be back next week because Emma and I will be at the daddy-daughter dance, right? Yay. We're going to dance,
having
Emma.
Having a pate.
Oh, thanks, Emma. She gave me a kiss. Well, Emma, can you tell Bill what happened at the last daddy-daughter dance? It was really embarrassing for me. Do you remember?
He sat on a pink cupcake.
You had cupcake on your butt.
I sat on a pink cupcake wearing black trousers.
So
It was like, hey, what's that pink on your butt?
What's
it's
that
icing.
Accoutrement?
I wanted to taste it, but I don't.
Oh gosh!
Yeah, you don't want to taste cupcake that's been on butt. You know, it's on the seat of your pants.
Yeah, it may sound appetizing, but it's not.
And if I do that again, I'm so embarrassed. Will you sit in the cupcake too, so I won't be so embarrassed?
Oh no, I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah, you're on your own, Dad.
Well, hey, what?
Just look before you sit.
What I'll do next? I'll just keep rubbing the pink all over my pants so it looks like I have pink pants on.
Just look before you sit.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Good advice, Emma. Hey.
I've learned that from Fairly Odd Parents.
Look before you sit, Emma. It's a good saying. All right, guys.
I do that everywhere I sit. Never know what you might sit on.
That's true. All right, everybody, thank you for listening to this huge show. It's just me and Bill and then Emma, and somehow we filled 3 hours, Bill. I don't know how we do it.
Easy.
But The Walking Dead returns on Sunday. Emma is not allowed to watch that show. But
I heard that's her favorite.
We'll talk about it in a couple of weeks when we return. And
all right.
Bill, I'll see you when I see you.
See you when I see you.
All right, bye, everybody. Bye, Emma.
Bye.
Bye, Bill.
Bye.
Get the out right now.
Foggy.
Get FUBAR now.
Now this is podcasting.
I don't want to go home.
Shameful.
Hey, moron.
Chill out with the German.
Well, I've had enough of this.
I will have your tongue in your dreams.
That's not right.
How dare you?
You will tend your words with more care in my presence.
Shut the f*** up, smart ass.
Too much television.